Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. LeafWell, the number one telehealth provider for medical cannabis certifications, is helping people access the medical benefits of cannabis from the comfort of their own homes. From chronic pain to restless nights to holiday stress, cannabis could help. LeafWell's starting the holiday season early by offering 20% off your certification with promo code Adam, and there's a 100% money-back guarantee if you aren't approved. Stop the side effects of heavy prescription drugs. Get access to natural, non-addictive medical cannabis. Best of all, in recreational states, a medical card can save you money as much as 40% off in sales tax. Get approved in minutes. Go to leafwell.com and get 20% off with promo code Adam and do it at checkout. That's Adam at checkout. Get your 20% off. Leafwell.com, promo code Adam. Start living better with LeafWell.
Hey, welcome to Cruella Classics for Friday, December 16th, 2022. Thank you so much for tuning in. You know how the show goes. We're going to play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show, and we're going to be doing it all the way till the beginning of next year. So take your shoes off. Enjoy these classic clips. My name is Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, Super Fan Giovanni.
Help! They won't let me leave!
We will not.
They can cut clips.
Yep, that's right. And it will be well worth it. All right, so
he shackled me to the basement.
So I hope you enjoyed the Ace Awards.
This building's not supposed to have a basement. What do you guys do down here?
I hope you enjoyed the Ace Awards. And actually, I will tell you this, too. We do have two bonus episodes this break that are going to air, so I'll keep you updated on that, but they're going to be live shows, and we'll tune in for that later. But let's get going with these classic clips for this weekend, because we got some good ones. And let's take you back to 2015, where we have Gina sharing some of Tim Conway Jr.'s favorite Jay Cutler stories.
It's Adam Carolla Show 1665, featuring Rob Cohen, Phil Rosenthal, David Wilde, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop. This portion is just a very select chunk that features a coin of a famous drop that everybody loves. Hope you guys enjoy.
What else we got?
Well, the Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch was coming out of a hotel in Wisconsin this weekend on his way to the team's game against the Green Bay Packers when he encountered a group of kids looking for autographs. Apparently, most visiting teams stay at this hotel and kids have learned when and where to score signatures. But video shows Lynch refusing to sign anything, saying, quote, back up off me. However, one child's family says it got worse once the recording stopped. A man says that the All-Pro told his nephew, quote, how'd you like it if I slap that fucking phone out of your hand and that smile off your face?
See, they're represented.
All over TV.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He just hates people.
I love how eclectic he is. He is so crazy, but I think it's specific, controlled crazy.
Thank you for the question. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the question. Mm-hmm. Over and over.
Yeah, this year is going to be harder. I mean, they're 0-2 mm-hmm. and not off to a fantastic start. I get both sides. I really wish, you know, I bet more than any other profession. You tell them. I'll put a hypothetical out there for you guys. Who wishes they had a time machine and could go back and relive a lot of the short career, let's say an 8-year career, in terms of interaction with the press, the public, the fans that they didn't, whatever, the coach they punched or got into it with, or the failed urine test or whatever it is. NFL players are roofers.
Oh, I didn't see it going that way. Mm. Why roofers? What's good about roofing?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's called a hypothetical.
Okay.
I'll ask the questions around here. I just feel like every one of these guys wishes it's over in the blink of an eye.
Right.
Like you turn 32, it's over.
Oh, if you're a 30-year-old running back, you're old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you're running.
Frank Gore.
You're running. Yeah, you go from all pro or setting the single season touchdown record or whatever. Sean Alexander.
DeMarco Murray.
And I'm at Sean Alexander. To, oh my God, yeah, where is that guy? Oh, he's been out of the league for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like he's working at Home Depot. If there's ever a gig where you wish you could just go back and kind of do it a little differently, by the way, could have made several million more dollars if you'd sort of played it right, I think that would be it.
But Marshawn Lynch seems to really enjoy the way he deals with people.
Yeah, but he probably doesn't enjoy this, like us talking about him just being shitty to some fans who wanted his autograph. On the other hand, it's become such a business selling autographs that you don't... You know, when you get off the plane, there's a bunch of pictures of Milhouse and some fat guy in the
It's like, just
LAX
let me get my bags, guys. Just one time. I just want to get to the curb.
I've literally gone to, like, Minneapolis and have pulling out piles and piles of pictures. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is Man Show. This is Death from Family Guy. This is Drawn Together. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep pulling it off. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's... Cranky Anchors. The guy will have a fucking stack of them. Like, a lot of them will be duplicates and stuff.
Do you ever ask if he's putting them up on eBay? Or
I know he's putting them up on eBay. I mean, there's no way you'd sign...
He's a big fan.
Can you sign this a triplicate?
It's five of the same.
I've seen this happen. The guy is not like, holy shit, Adam. He's like standing there like with the Sharpie ready, like, come on, let's get to business.
Oh, wow.
Can you sign this to Lucky Auction Winner?
But don't you also think like
and
that?
And he's... By the way... Little again in our never ending sort of I hate celebrities as much as the next guy, but I do believe they're entitled to the same privacy laws that common folk are. This guy's got a friend who works for American Airlines, and he just calls and he gets the flight manifest, and they tell you who's going to be on that. And he's bitterly disappointed when he sees my name, but if Beyonce's on that flight, he's going to know it,
right?
And that's a weird thing. Yeah. You're not supposed to be able to just call the guy you know at the airline, especially of all places, the airport, like saying, hey, I got a pistol that needs to get onto my carry-on. Could you just sort of look the other way? Like, I don't know where it ends. But you're not supposed to call the guy and go, hey, who's going to be on that flight? And that guy or that guy calls you and goes, hey, Brad Pitt's got a couple of kids coming in at the midnight flight in New York. Like, not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's like if the
Ivy. It's one of those who cares because it's a celebrity.
Right.
But it's like if you go by the restaurant, the Ivy on Robertson, there's the valet people who could not be nicer. And then you see the paparazzi stalker guys just off to the side. It's not like they magically showed up. You know that they're being tipped off and it's all commerce. And so,
of course. Brokered by the publicists or whoever, the manager.
You know? Well, if you're having lunch in the balcony of the Ivy, you're probably hoping that someone will show up and take a picture.
Some of it is that, and then some of it is the
hostess.
Or the person who's making reservations or the valet parker or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sorry, just tipping people off.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's a whole industry, and it's only in certain cities, but it's insidious, but at the same time, it kind of makes sense in a sick way.
Mm. It's right up there with fake handicap placards and dogs on planes. Like, are we really going to avoid this? It's impossible to avoid. As long as there's a guy who works for American Airlines who'd like to make a little extra cash, and he's hooked up with a couple guys in New York, and he sees that Brad Pitt's on the flight, and he gets $100 for making a phone call, it's not never going to go away.
Right. But if you didn't sign those things, then some guys may go, oh, Adam Carolla, he's a jerk.
Yeah. Would you be like, no, dude, no, I'm not doing that?
No, I don't believe – Gary, I don't think I've ever said to somebody no.
I've been with you several times.
You've never said no, and I think there's only been once that you kind of said that's enough, and that was literally 30 or 40 signatures for the same guy.
And wasn't it a drunk dude who didn't have a pen but still really wanted an autograph?
No, these dudes are crazy. They show up with like 75 different pictures, and they're just going to test until you stop.
Like a binder, basically.
Yeah, right, okay.
He was pulling pictures out of places I would have never expected. At a certain point, he pulled one out from like his backpack, but like he didn't take the backpack off. It was... It was well orchestrated.
It's sort of what I want to say to the homeless community. Like, at a certain point, I've seen you pushing that shopping cart up and down Laurel Canyon Boulevard and doing the recycling thing where you're pulling the cans out of the dumpster and then pushing them to Glendale and recycling. Mm-hmm. Like, get a job. At a certain point, it's actually easier.
Yeah, this is your job.
This guy's doing at the airport. Just get a job at a Starbucks. It's better. Smells better. It's better. You don't have to wait for me at some godforsaken place somewhere. Yeah. The only time I ever walked away is out front of Kimmel's Theater on Hollywood Boulevard when I got the two chicks from Idaho really pumped up, and the one chick was doing my husband's a big fan, and then she kept going, I'm not a big fan, but my husband's a big fan, and then she did the Love the Man show. I didn't care for it. And about the fourth one where her husband was into it, but not her cup of tea, I said, that's it. I'm out of here. And they're like, where are you going? And I was like, I got about 3.5 insults in, and now we're moving. I'm moving on. And she's like, what? And I'm like, let me explain. It's fine that your husband's a fan of the show, and I'm okay with you not being a fan of the show. But yet go back and revisit it about 3 or 4 times and really start piling on about did not care for it. And I'm like, you should learn.
But they just want to get something signed. Because if you go, oh, I'm not Adam Carolla, I'm so-and-so, they would still ask you to sign it.
Yeah.
Because they just want something signed.
Well, they know airport-wise from the manifest who's coming in.
Speaking of celebrities at airports, I was on a flight last night sitting next to Chloe Sevigny.
Sevigny.
You guys know who that is? Actress?
Yeah.
Real indie.
I can picture her.
I'm a big fan of some of her movies, but I was up?
Gary will pull up a picture.
I'm a big fan of some of her movies. I was this close to being... I love American Psycho. I love that movie. I think it's a brilliant movie. I wanted to chat her up. I had all sorts of questions, but I waited until the end and did a smooth move where I was like, didn't want to bother you during the flight. We're getting off the plane. Didn't want to bother you on your flight, but I'm a big fan of your films. Oh, thank you very much. And I pulled a deep cut. I said, I love Shattered Glass, which I can't imagine she ever gets complimented on. It's kind of an obscure movie. And she was like, oh, thanks. Nothing for Shattered Glass.
How did you feel?
You know what? I would have liked a little more. Like, wow, you've seen Shattered Glass, or some acknowledgement.
But
you
opened up and you thought this is going to be that moment where we bond, and she did not give you what you wanted, so then you felt disappointed. Does that affect how much you like her?
No, still love the movies. But you know what? I thought you nailed it. I would have liked a little more.
Never open yourself up to anybody.
No. My last mistake.
Lesson learned. Yeah. You should be more Canadian that way.
Exactly.
I know. Me and Damashek chatted up Patrick Swayze once.
God. Awesome.
And we're just sitting at this restaurant, my restaurant, Amalfi on La Brea, and Swayze was just standing out front smoking. And we're like, oh my God, it's Patrick Swayze. And
that's what did it.
Collectively, we've seen Red Dawn maybe 1,300 times.
Wolverine.
And I said, I had this kind of thing where it's like I was with Damashek and maybe Hench or somebody else who was not a C-list celebrity like me, but I was thinking, there's the picture.
Wow.
Oh,
cry!
We got the picture.
Hold it back!
So I said, I think I'll go up. I'll kind of go up and talk to him because maybe he'll recognize me. And
you make the entree with Damashek,
right?
Yeah, and you never know. Like, you just don't know. Like, I was watching the Foo Fighters last night. I was just watching Taylor just behind the drumstick singing and playing his fucking ass off and just being a rock star. Mm-hmm. And I was just going, I think I met Taylor once backstage somewhere. He's not going to remember who I am and whatever. And we went backstage and he was like, Taylor's like, hey, Adam, how's it going? I was like, oh, good. And I said, Taylor, man, just banging on his drums so visceral. I wish I could do what you do. And he goes, I wish I could do what you do, man.
Wow. And you had a Freaky Friday moment and now you're Taylor.
Yeah.
I knew it.
It'd be awesome. And I went, whoa, that felt good. So I said, I'm going to go up to Swayze and I'm going to introduce him to Shaq. And he was standing out there smoking at night. And I just walked out and I said, excuse me, Patrick Swayze, I'm Adam Carolla. We're all fans, big fans of yours. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, we just wanted to say hi and just tell you we saw all your movies and really, really enjoyed them. Okay.
Oh. Now that you've done that, now what?
Like, I swear to God, beat it, punks. It's better than that because now we're just kind of in this weird no man's land of, I just want to say hi. Looks like my veal parmesan's landing on the table, but keep up the good work. He's like, Yeah, and it's like everyone was like,
"You still got the picture?"
Okay, and I think he died 8 months later. Yeah. And if you run into,
he may have gotten some bad news that day.
You run into me or Damashek. All we remember is he was kind of douchey.
Like, right.
I mean, that's all. He could. I mean, the point is, fake it for the 2 minute exchange. And by the way, we're not homeless guys that have come up hitting you up for change or something like that.
Drunk guys in Vegas.
Yeah, we're just...
You get up at craps with us.
We're in the restaurant. You know.
Those are very precarious. It's like at the end of a date when you say, I've heard about dates, but it's basically like, you know, I had a really great time tonight. And then you want the person to respond and then perhaps there'll be more conversation. But I had that with Lee Majors once because there is nobody that is a bigger $6 million man fan than I. And I said, Mr. Majors, I'm sorry to bother you. Just want to say your show was the greatest show ever. And he went, what else? It's like,
oh, God.
And I had nothing else. It's like,
welcome to Hollywood, kid.
Horrifying.
Because you've been neutered on the spot.
Right.
Conversationally.
Yeah.
Did Tim tell you the other night his Jay Cutler story?
Yes.
At the show? When
yes.
Some friend of his pulled up to Jay at the stall, at the urinal, and he didn't know what to say. He's a huge fan. He's like, Mr. Cutler, I'm sorry, it's odd place to do this, but I just want you to know I'm a really huge fan. I'm really excited to meet you. And Jay Cutler stared straight ahead holding his junk and said, don't care! And then just stared right ahead and kept peeing.
This is the whole thing. Well, first off, you should have picked the fall guy when you go to majors. That's the way it works.
It's also the only bad Jay Cutler story I've ever heard.
Really?
No, of course not.
No, he's a horrible person.
They're legion.
That's... First
fucking
off,
shameless bastard.
You know, Jay Leno said to me once,
if only Jay could give Jay some chin, that even out.
I said to Jay, I was shooting the Newman documentary, and he was roaming around Laguna Seca, and Dempsey was around there too. And I said, hey guys, can I just pull you aside and sit down for a minute and talk about your memories of Newman or something? And he was like, and we sat down and knocked it out. And I said, thanks, Jay. I really appreciate doing that. And I said, I really appreciate you, like, taking the time. And he went, it doesn't have to be that hard, does it? And I said, it doesn't. And he said, yeah, it's not that hard.
Awesome.
And it doesn't have to be hard. And I know, I know, but I don't know why. Like, it's really, I mean... I was at the concert last night. I was in the bathroom last night. I was standing at the urinal, and there's a bunch of drunken Foo Fighter fans are like, hey, Ace Man, listen to the podcast. Can we take a shot? And I was like, hey, man, why not? Yeah. It's not that hard.
But if somebody's gracious that you admire, Jill and I went to see Rush, the last show at the Forum, and we're lucky enough to go to the party afterwards. And Geddy Lee came up and just said hello, and it was – the nicest thing in the world because this guy who had a million other things to do chose to say hello. And it's the same as you with the Foo Fighters. If somebody is gracious, they don't have to be famous. You just appreciate that they took the time. And
fan for life.
Yeah, but Leno sat down for you for your interview. If somebody says it's too much of a hassle, then you have to respect it. But when somebody says it was not a hassle, I think that just goes so far in any industry.
And why leave?
Don't care!
Why leave everybody with a shitty taste in their mouth?
Exactly.
And why have them go infect the herd? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, go home and go, that guy's a douche. Fuck listening to him.
I'll bet you anything Swayze was scared of having his identity stolen by you or Damashek. Until he sized you guys up.
Oh, yeah. No, LifeLock was around back then.
2006 is probably a big deal back then. He's like,
you're right.
Get too close to these characters.
That's right. I probably could add some sort of scanning device in my fanny pack and lifted his shit right off his pack of cigarettes.
What a beautiful segue.
Yeah. I will say, if you're going to go douche, go full douche like Cutler. You know what I mean? Like, make that part of your thing.
Yeah,
don't care!
Then you respect it because you go, that person was such an asshole that it's like Darth Vader.
Asshole.
Yeah, it's better. Yeah.
They're good at it.
Go Charles Barkley. Like, throw the guy through a window.
Totally.
You know what I mean? But don't be Swayze. Swayze's, I always say, either be up on the beach, just warming yourself in the sun, or be beyond the breakwater, floating out in the calm sea. Don't be getting pummeled right in the middle. He was right in the middle with the,
But don't
I'd rather him go, fuck you, Corolla. Your show's a piece of shit. Like, it'd be more interesting. At least it'd be
definitely.
A story.
But don't you find, if you're being approached, you're well-known. If somebody's approaching you, your radar starts to go off when they're on the perimeter, and you have to quickly decide, are you going to be cool? Are you going to acknowledge them? But when they get closer, you're stuck. So you have to decide.
I have a weird non-threatened gene. I don't mind people handing me shit to eat. If somebody, like, if
wandering if on stage, have you autographed something in San Diego, God. For example?
No, but if I'm like standing with a drunk dude and he's got half an IPA and I go, oh, where'd you get that beer? Is the beer stand open? And he goes, hey man, have a hit. And he'll hand it to me. I'll just fucking take a hit off it. Like, wow. I don't care. I think it was growing up with sort of hoodlum friends that beat on me on a semi-regular basis that made me not fear strangers, because no strangers, my friends were all scarier than the strangers.
Yeah. What harm could these people do to me?
You already had shit thrown in your ear.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. I drive home from San Diego while Mike August drives my car like an insane man trying to evade the law for 2 hours and don't move in the passenger seat. Now, I'm drunk, to be fair to me.
Right.
But, I mean, he comes up on people, does a weird fucking dipsy doodle move, goes over a pylon. Like I don't care.
Yeah.
I have a low pulse or something. I don't know what it is. One more.
All right. Well, Republican frontrunner Donald Trump held a Twitter Q&A Monday with the hashtag AskTrump. Here are some of the popular questions posed to Trump that I thought you might like. First one, which of your immigrant wives will you deport first?
Well, let's not fucking deport any hottie.
Yeah.
That's
Melania
slow.
And Ivanka.
Yeah.
Or whichever one. Do you find it obnoxious when people criticize your hair instead of your disastrous lack of political expertise? How many Native Americans sit on your immigration reform board? And finally, if you become president, will you put That's So Raven on Netflix? Trump actually conducted the chat at Twitter's New York City office, and he seemed to take the whole thing in stride. He tweeted, thanks for all your questions. I had a great time.
It's like booing Daryl Strawberry back when he was a Met at Yankee Stadium or whatever. He just goes home and lays on a bed made of cash. Like, I don't think you can do anything to Donald Trump.
I got an interjector because there's a great Simpsons moment. I don't know if you were there where they
were
booing Daryl Strawberry.
Yes.
And he was like, it's not nice to boo them, huh? He's like, no, they're professional athletes. They get it all the time. Smash cut to Strawberry, single tear goes down his cheek.
That's funny.
You can't tell Trump a hair joke that he hasn't heard. Right. Like, I don't think he cares. Like, I mean, you can try all you want on him. It's not going to work,
right?
But he's also the classic. He's never going to win. He's doing it for PR. And the classic example of a very rich, out-of-touch old man who is just following somebody's advice. Like, you know what the kids love? Twitter.
Yep.
Put out a hashtag. It's basically tic-tac-toe without the circle and the X.
Does he know he's not going
to
win?
He has to know. Yeah.
I don't every single time I listen to a lot of talk radio, and every single Trump related story is, well, you know, he has no chance, no realistic chance, and then second voice pops in. What do you mean no realistic chance? Number one in the polls. Every single time somebody says he doesn't know or he's not going to win or come on, please, the other human being in the room who seems to be educated goes, well, wait on.
He has to be in it just to be pumping up the Trump brand, name.
There's no question, but also
he's in the news every day.
There's a year until the election, so he cannot think that he is going to be president in a year. If he does, he should be removed from.
Why is he doing all this
for PR?
He's in the news every day.
Yes, because we're talking about it.
The former Celebrity Apprentice host, people know Donald.
Can't buy this publicity.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, but it's not like before this. Someone said Donald Trump. Donald who? All right. Live shows ever at Toronto.
Sorry.
Doing a stand-up show there. Enjoy that. Me in custody. Yes.
We don't have to spend any time on it, but it should be mentioned. Whenever someone asks you, whoever comes up, ask you what your favorite Simpsons episode is, you usually answer with...
I
hope you said the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. I like Homer Steals Cable. I like Morbidly Obese Homer.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Marge whatever, but Rancho Relaxo is the one I
thought
call
Flaming
it.
Moe was the one that you
always...
It's up there.
Rob is the credited
not uncomfortable
one.
Moment at all to watch you not pick mine.
Just like
Flaming
I planned
Moe.
Just
if
like
you'd let me finish.
That's all right. Jumping in again.
That was a great one with... Stevie, the band, and
Aerosmith,
right?
Classic.
No, sorry, Rob Cohen. Everyone, Being Canadian, the name. Oh, the movie, and you can go. to beingcanadianmovie.com. Find out everything you need, all the podcasts, Take a Knee, Richard Roper's in, all that. Go to adamcarolla.com. Until next time, Adam Carolla, Rob Cohen, Gina Grad, Bo Bryan, saying mahalo.
I cannot believe that a little girl from Texas is up on the stage now with diarrhea.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
That clip from 2015 and the origin of one of the most played drops.
Don't care.
That one is so good.
That's scary.
Yeah, she really had to dig deep for that one.
Whenever Brian plays, it's like, ow, what are you doing?
All right, let's get going with our next clip. Now we're going to go back to the first year of the podcast, 2009, and we're going to hear Adam, Brian, and Teresa.
It's Adam Carolla Show, episode 210. Somehow we have never played this before. This is from December of 2009, so it's the December mood, but a long time ago. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, Teresa Strasser.
Well, obviously, the lead story this week is about Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard, but he's gotten himself in a little trouble. According to the Wall Street Journal, Florida State, by the way, if I took the names off and I just told you this story and it happened in Florida, you go, some crazy shit happened, but it happens to be Tiger Woods.
Celebrity journey in Florida.
Exactly. Troopers are trying to get Woods' medical records to investigate whether his injuries are consistent with a car accident or with getting bashed with a golf club. If they find the latter, then his wife, Ellen Nordegan, could well be in trouble. The golf club would be considered a weapon, and she would be charged with felony aggravated battery because of Florida's domestic violence statutes. Now, here's something you didn't know about Florida. The police would have no choice but to arrest her if they have probable cause to suspect her, whether Woods pressed charges or not. You think in domestic violence, there has to be somebody to press charges.
I've seen her. She'll do fine in prison.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very popular.
Caged Heat.
Yeah, it is. I know. I was picturing a bunch of things. First off, I was picturing her running after him with the golf club and the caddy running after her, yelling, not the sand wedge.
That's right.
He's out of range. Use a 9-iron.
That's right.
A couple of things. First off, Donnie had a great... I was sitting around with Donnie trying to figure out what the hell happened.
Right.
This notion of I lost control of my vehicle, I never buy it. I mean, to me, it's either drugs or speeding or pulling an e-brake or Brody or something. This thing where you go, I was just driving down the highway, you know, when I lost control of my vehicle. Well, you're driving down the highway at 200 miles an hour, or you're lighting a doobie, or you're doing something. I don't know how you lose control of your vehicle. And losing control of your vehicle coming out of your driveway, A, means you've arrived, because you have enough driveway.
Enough space, yeah.
Listen. Rip. The houses I grew up in, if you took the snake and the mongoose and Don the Snake Perdome and he dropped the hammer on one of the things, he couldn't have gotten up to 14 miles an hour by the time he got to the end of the driveway. So the idea that you have a driveway where you can actually get up enough speed to total out an Escalade
is poor man.
Yeah, long driveway.
Either a long country road or a long driveway.
Right, right. Yeah, because long driveway means you're rich.
or long dirt driveway means, you know, hound dog barking, and you hear the right. pump of a shotgun and a guy yelling, get down on a rocking chair at the very end of it.
Yeah, both could be in Florida, different parts.
I was disappointed by a few things. A, he's driving an Escalade, which is like, come on,
you're
man.
You're better than that.
You're better than that. Well, in the sense that it's
a cliche.
It's a cliche. And then he had custom rims on it. And it's like, Tiger, Tiger, Tiger. I know you're, you know, technically black or used or held up as a symbol in the black community. But did you really have to fold and get the custom rims?
Yeah, he has other ethnicities to honor. Yes. He had a rice rocket, for example.
Right.
That's right. He's part Asian.
Slammed Acura. I'm just saying, it's always a little disappointing when you find out the guy just drives the standard issue brother who makes over 50 grand a year car with the cheap rims on it, you know? So that was weird. So it went from him losing control in the driveway and her saving him with a golf club.
Yeah.
To...
Which seemed fishy because of the time of day. Nothing good happens between 2 and 3 a.m.
He
in your driveway.
Was leaving.
Yeah, where was he going?
Yeah. Had an uncomfortable conversation with my wife where she goes, but why was he cheating? She was so hot. Sweetie, you don't under... I mean yeah.
No.
Good question.
Right.
Excellent question.
I was going to talk about the road and what it's like to turn down new pussy, but you know what? You're right. She is an attractive woman.
Maybe that's
as a matter of fact, if I could bang her, maybe I wouldn't have to cheat.
Wait.
Either way, you're getting in trouble.
Yeah, so there is those times. I believe women float those things out there. That's their version of a cop going, you've been drinking tonight?
One beer.
One beer.
That's it.
It's all. One beer. Ma'am, step out of the car. That's all I'm going to need you to do for me right now. Just go ahead. Step out of the car, okay, right now? Yeah, that's all. You should just shut up when they do that.
But
you know what the bright answer is, actually? You think she's hot? I don't know
about that.
I never
know about that.
Yeah, that's always the question women have every time. I mean, when Christie Brinkley got cheated on, everyone thought, but she's Christie Brinkley.
Yeah.
Who cheats on her? Or Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Why would you cheat on Halle?
Guys that are wildly successful that spend 200 days on the road cheat because women, and I know this from a very small scale from being on MTV, you don't have to want to cheat. They will cheat for you. You go to a bar. You sit down at said bar out of town. You try to have a beer, and a hot chick will come up to you and go, you're that guy from whatever, and start talking to you, and then say, you want to party with my roommate. At that point, it takes a saint not to do anything, and even the saints in the sports world, the guys that are, you know, arguably the Tiger Woods, you know, fairly squeaky clean, even they have a dick and balls.
Sure.
And they're athletes. Like, they produce a little more testosterone than we do.
Yeah, I mean, remember when Kobe used to be squeaky clean? That was really shocking.
Right. But think about, like, I don't know, as I've said many times, there are plenty of guys who... It's one thing to not rob a liquor store. It's another thing to find a briefcase or a pillowcase stuffed with money somewhere, and now who's returning it?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like
it can't be traced.
Kobe would never walk into a liquor store and hold a gun and pistol whip a Korean woman behind the counter. But you find a pillowcase filled with 20s, are you going to bring it right to the police station? That's what these guys do. They go on the road, and a hot 19-year-old pillowcase presents themselves.
Right.
And these guys are 20-something-year-old athletes at the top of their game.
Yeah, I think that's why people felt for Frank Gifford, when Kathy Lee's husband,
right.
when he was, I can't remember who hired her, maybe the National Enquirer, but they sort of had somebody really hit on him and then take him to the hotel room, and you just thought, that's obviously shouldn't have been cheating, but it was the sack of cash.
Yes.
Unmarked bills.
Yeah.
I just love the other rare celebrity bitten by your own snake. A tiger beaten by his own golf club.
I know. That
that's fantastic.
I know.
Well, there's a kind
He's
of a decent...
probably screaming, go for the practice clubs, not the titanium driver!
There's a decent chance that she will do some jail time, because if the cops do get the medical records and they find that the injuries are not consistent with a car accident, but in fact she beat him in some way, she will be in jail.
Well, I didn't know what was going on. Donnie had a good idea, which didn't turn out to be true, but it was a nice hypothesis, Ambien driving.
Oh.
At first blush, this was just Tiger Woods, squeaky clean Tiger Woods.
Right. Yeah, why?
And I thought, where's he going? So, well, how'd he get in a car crash in his own driveway 2:30 in the morning? And Donnie said maybe he popped an Ambien and he went out for an In-N-Out burger, sleepwalking, sleep driving, in other words, and hit a tree. And that was the squeaky clean version.
Sure.
Then I found out a story came out in the Inquirer, I think a day before, of his philandering, and now it's pretty easy to connect the dots.
Well, in any other week, Anthony Michael Hall biting his girlfriend's forehead would be a big story.
Right.
But the Tiger Woods thing has really dwarfed the Anthony Michael Hall story.
Well,
I don't know if you've heard, but the Breakfast Club star allegedly had a breakfast of his girlfriend's...
The weird science star?
Sorry, the weird, science star. I'm sorry. So again, it's 2 a.m., and there was an incident with the former Brat Packer. And his girlfriend, although I believe they had broken up, they dated for about a year. The relationship recently ended. And according to reports, Hall bit his girlfriend's forehead and pushed, shoved, and spat at her during this spat. He, I guess, was intoxicated and repeatedly banged on her door before he was escorted out by officers.
Yeah.
Now, this woman...
I blame Twilight.
Oh, you think it was a vampire thing?
He's a big New Moon fan.
Well, I had a... an uncomfortable conversation amongst a group of strangers the other day when they were like, what's up with the whole Twilight thing? Why is this such a phenomenon? And I'm like, women like a little neck play. I mean, the girls are attracted to a little pressure. And everyone starts to look at me. And then I start with the, I haven't had a girlfriend that didn't enjoy
a little strength.
A little. I'm not.
Right?
I'm not putting a garbage bag over her head and fucking her in the ear. I'm just saying a little. It's an erogenous zone. It is.
Right.
I mean, women, first off, their erogenous zones, half of them aren't even on them.
Right.
They're in the other room. They're in a Bullocks. They're in a mall. They're in a car.
I don't
know if they still exist. They're in an Orbach.
That's the last time you went shopping for your wife?
I went to the Bullocks. No, women like a little pressure on the neck and a little nibble on the neck. And if you want to know where the phenomenon of all this Twilight shit is coming from, it's all these 17 and 16 and 18-year-old girls all rushing to the theaters because it's an erogenous... It's basically a movie about their erogenous zone, and no one can really put their finger on it, but I think that's what it is.
And also, he loves her too much to have sex with her, because that will turn her into a vampire.
Oh, really?
So he has to control himself.
How about a handy?
You know what? That's a good question. Mm. I don't know. I don't think that would, because there's
no... Should be a part-timer.
Should be a centaur.
That's a really good question.
Well, either way, biting of the forehead, you know, maybe it's something she's into. Again, not a great... I don't think I could.
Well, they had it broken up, and she had a restraining order.
Oh, okay. All right.
He has bipolar disorder, and he was a big drinker before going sober in the 90s.
Okay.
But no charges have been filed so far.
All right.
So, now, let's cleanse our palate from all the domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. I tried to get fancy and do some audio for this newscast.
What?
So, yeah.
By the way, I just want to say this. I know it's a double standard. It should be a double standard. If Tiger Woods attacks his angelic blonde wife with a golf club, he's an animal.
Right.
This turns out to be amusing and funny, which it is. Don't get me wrong. There should be a double standard.
Sure. Yeah.
It's just funny that no one's really approached this as just pure domestic violence. Like somebody's being attacked with a golf club.
Right. It's not. We're not talking in hushed tones on Larry King about Chris Brown.
Right.
Something like that. It's kind of a funny story.
And as a matter of fact, TMZ should go find a bunch of blonde Nordic stars and interview them, like Dolph Lundgren, so they can go, hey, man, I have great love for both of them, and I haven't seen all the aspects of the case yet. No, they haven't done it. It's funny. It's funny that she is trying to beat Tiger Woods with a golf club, but the reality is it's domestic abuse.
Yeah, and she could be prosecuted for it. All right, so...
We have an audio
clip. Yeah, we have an audio clip. This is from Jezebel.com. They put together a little montage to reminisce because, as you know, Oprah is leaving her show. So here's a little bit of Oprah yelling celebrities' names. And it's long, so you can just, whenever, as soon as you get bored, just tell Gabe.
You know what I'm going to do, actually?
Let's bring them out.
Hold on a second. Damn it, I dropped the ball. I should have named Sonny Free Car.
Oh, and then Oprah would yell?
Yeah.
Free Car.
Or wherever he went, Ellen or any show. Yeah. Welcome. Right. Free Car! And the audience would always go nuts.
Goodness, yeah.
They'd always go insane. Just like I said, you should name your kid Lou, so if they're booing.
This sounds like Lou.
It sounds like Lou. Yeah, all right. Like I'm sorry. Lou. Oprah is yelling celebrity names.
Kidman, Oscar nominee, Kate Hudson!
Yeah!
Marianne Cotillard! Penelope Cruz! Please welcome Best
Sound like Adam Sandler now.
She went up on that.
Penelope Cruz!
Please welcome our favorite urban cowboy, John Travolta!
The singing began for an end.
Yeah. John Travolta, welcome! Please welcome my dear friend, John Travolta!
Here is the vision herself, Mariah Carey. Mariah!
So we're back with Mariah Carey!
Keith Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal!
Oh, that worked out.
Come on out, Beyonce!
Avril Lavigne!
Nice.
Quick, wait a minute, hold it. Tom Cruise!
He's the richest woman on the planet?
Right.
Come on out, Stephanie Meyer! Please welcome Julia Roberts, my dear delightful friend, Julia Roberts. Come on out, Kirsten. Friends, please welcome Jennifer Aniston, Matthew Perry, Courtney Cox, David Schwimmer, Lisa Kudrow, and Matt LeBlanc. Please welcome Dakota Fanning. Please welcome John Kennedy. Please welcome Joss Stone. It was about a year and a half ago when I first met Madonna. Here are the four guys who give love a bad name. Bon Jovi.
All right, I'm putting it
up. All right.
I wonder if she orders that way. Let's see. I'm going to start with the Caesar salad.
I would like my steak medium rare.
The special risotto.
For dessert, tiramisu.
Oh, does she have to be so rich?
Oh. She's very talented. Yes. Love Oprah.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is a story out of Dearborn Heights, Michigan, according to MSNBC. A Wendy's restaurant was robbed, and when the manager came out to see what was going on, there was a robber with a bandana covering his face, and he looked familiar. He looked very familiar to the manager of the Wendy's. And in fact,
one of the Dalton boys or the James gang?
He
wears a bandana anymore.
Now it is old school. Well, he had reason to cover his face when robbing that particular Wendy's because the 27-year-old was in fact the son of the Wendy's manager.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He was robbing the place while his mom was on duty managing.
Mm.
She heard the commotion. She went to see what was going on. And she walked over and shouted, "What the hell are you doing?" to her 27-year-old son.
And he used one of the patties like a throwing star?
Decapitated
her.
They're square.
They're square, right.
Yeah.
Well, his girlfriend was also in on it. She's accused of being the driver of the getaway car. She's 22. He's 27. Through tears in court, she told the judge she wanted to be released to see her children, 18-month-old twins and a 2-year-old.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, just trying to earn a little
money.
I'm going
to say Florida. by the way, that is just pure, honky, white, loose, translucent trash, right?
Yeah, that sounds like
And that's
like
drugs,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we always talk about these crazy crimes, but I mean, this is speed, right?
Now,
this...
he might be one of your people. Last name, Zachy. Z-A-C-C-H-I. Mm. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but that sounds like
it's probably Zuckerman, and he shortened it.
You think so?
Yeah, it's definitely from your tribe. That's right. Robbing a Wendy's. Jews never even walked into a Wendy's, much less robbed it.
I didn't know they had the square patties.
There you go.
Sat around in Wendy's thinking, man, we got to rob this place. We got a case of joint.
Well, he was familiar with it because he probably went to visit his mom free burger.
Yeah.
All right. So two of the three of us used to be fat, right?
Uh-huh. I'm getting there again thanks to steroids.
No, you look good. What are you talking about?
I've looked at a disaster in the pictures from the event. We'll go over it later, but I spent a very depressing Thanksgiving not eating because I look so fat in the pictures.
No.
Well, no, here's the problem with this event and all events is somebody sits out in the audience and takes pictures of you up while you're up on stage.
Right.
And anytime you've ever done that thing, you ever get a look at yourself like the reflection of a glass table when you're leaning over? Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, great, I have five chins. My head looks like the size of a fucking pumpkin. It looks horrible. So what they should do is get up on the goddamn balcony
and
take a picture of you up on stage. But all the pictures are always taken from down in the second row, and you always look like you have that bloated double chin head.
That was me.
That was you. That was me. That was everyone who was up there except for fucking Joe McHale.
Oh, and Dr. Drew.
Skinny Joel.
Dr. Drew's one of these guys you just want to... If you're one of these guys... who gets the fat head when you put on weight, like I do and Brian does and a lot of other guys do, you want to fucking kick Dr. Drew, because Dr. Drew will put on weight, and when he puts on weight, his arms get bigger, and his, like, calves get bigger, but his face never fucking grows. He has this thin, defined, you know, chiseled face. And, you know, he'll come to me sometimes, and I'll go, like, hey, want to go over and get something to eat? And I'll go, oh, man, no, I got to watch. I put on 20 pounds. I'm 228. And you'll go, like, what? Because his face...
goes right to my biceps.
Fucking, yes!
He's like Popeye.
It's fucking pathetic. It fucking makes me want to...
punch him in this pie hole that he uses to help people all day.
Yes.
Oh, are you guys watching Sex Rehab?
Yeah.
I was. By the way, I was. Well, quick footnote: took my son to go watch his son's playoff football game last Friday night in Pasadena. Their team lost 49-0, and the other team took a knee like on the 1 yard line with 2 minutes left. Oh, like, could have been a. Could have tossed a 50 burger. Sure.
Did the kid get playing time?
One son played, the other one pulled a groin and couldn't play. And I was like, I don't remember having a groin in high school. But yes, me and Drew sat up there with my son bundled up in between us. Very cute. Yes.
Did you ever play a groin?
Never missed a game in high school.
It's really, really painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine.
His actually said his son could feel it up to his asshole. Thanks for that. Yeah. I'll be gentle, knowing that.
Now, did Sonny follow what was going on, and was he antsy?
It was cute because he clapped whenever anyone else clapped. Aww.
Fortnite, nothing. Not a lot of
clapping. Not a lot of clapping going on. But he clapped, and he had his cookie, and he sat there bundled up, and it was a good time.
Little kids bundled up, so goddamn cute.
Yeah.
So Ryan used to be up 80.
Mm.
I used to be chubby. In fact, you guys, as you well know, the principal called me into his office to ask me if I was pregnant.
Oh, God. No wonder you're a mess.
Can I have a moment?
No wonder that thing... wore off many years ago.
Yeah, now I'm totally well-adjusted with my own child.
There could be a class action lawsuit against that guy. I mean, seriously, what's worse, being backed into,
Can I just tell you, I saw the movie Precious, and I related. I was like, wait a second, her principal called her in to ask if she was pregnant. Now, she really was. And it was also her father's baby, so much worse.
Not much worse, because being called into the principal's office and asked if you're pregnant when you're pregnant is legitimate.
Yep.
When you're not pregnant, when you're in fact a virgin, when a digit has not even been dropped on you yet, that is humiliating.
I barely made out with the guy, and the worst part was, I said, you know what, I don't know how you heard that, but it's not true, okay. But if you want to talk about anything. What'd I just say? What am I supposed to talk about?
I identified with Precious as well. I mean, I wasn't overweight, but I was black.
Yeah, that's true.
In high school.
Sure. I remember that.
I was 215 pounds in high school. It's because I played football, but I was still technically a big guy. I wasn't chiseled. I was asked by my health teacher, Miss Komisar, if my parents beat me, which is
what?
Nice.
Because you seemed you had the affect of
a
child who'd been
flinched a lot.
Yeah, I
you told her I ran into a door.
It just goes to show you how stupid all our teachers were. Miss Komisar pulled me aside after class one day and she said, "Adam, she's in her 90s. She said, "Adam, you're very popular. All the girls love you." Immediately, I was going to discount anything.
Discount what right. Said, yeah.
All right. You're one of
lost
these.
Lost credibility.
The earth is flat. Hitler right. had some valid points. Right. It's like one of those things where people start talking, you don't have to listen anymore.
Right.
I was like, all right, I don't have to listen anymore. Were you beat? Does your dad hit you?
Everything's okay at home.
I was like, first off, I could snap that pussy over my knee like fucking Kenyon.
Imagine.
I'm 215 pounds of the captain of the fucking football team. No, I'm not going to let that little puss beat me. And number two, that would require effort. He'd have to get off the sofa. He'd have to lift his arm.
To get beaten.
He'd have to put down his Leo Buscaglia book or whatever his name was. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Jesus Christ. No. I wish he'd beat me a little bit, but no.
He seems like the least violent person one could imagine.
It's not like he hung out during open house and ever met her or anything. I'm just wondering, how do you glean that? Like, I'm sure I was sitting in the class cracking wise. I don't know where the beatings come in.
Well, I don't know how you expect him to go to a school open house when he lives all the way across the street.
Well, there was a big street.
Well, why do I mention people who used to be overweight? Because it turns out Adam Lambert was 250 pounds in high school. Yeah. He did some interview on Sirius Radio where he said he suffered from an ugly duckling complex because he used to be quite the fatty.
You know, we should all, in a weird way, wish that upon our kids. A, you're not going to get a venereal disease because no one will fuck you.
Right.
And two, you'll come out literally with a fire in your belly. You know, that overcompensation,
I'm
going to show them now, as opposed to the guy who was captain of the football team or the chick who was the head cheerleader, just sort of coasting now.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have body image issues, you're going to work because you'll always see yourself
as
that fat kid.
Yeah.
Now, my baby already has baby acne. So he's well on his way. Yeah, apparently it's common.
It is?
Because they have some leftover maternal hormones.
Awesome.
Yeah, so now the baby cries a lot and has acne. So he's essentially me in my 20s.
But that's awesome because you can pop him, right?
No, you don't want to. You just want to put a little Cetaphil. But it's so sad. His little cheeks have a little rash.
Well, it's not like he's going to the prom. I mean, who gives
or ever
shit?
Will, probably, as my child.
Oh,
poor guy. I know. But it doesn't seem to bother him. So, I put a little concealer, and then fine. Is that bad?
No.
So Adam Lambert, I don't know if you guys saw his performance.
He made out with a dude.
Yeah, whatever.
Let me ask you this. They tiled out the oral sex simulation.
You know, because I have a baby, I miss this whole thing.
Well,
so all I know
I've
is he kissed a dude.
I've seen it run on TMZ or whatever, Entertainment Tonight or whatever. Somebody got down on their knees and sort of simulated oral sex with him, but I'm guessing that was a female.
Okay.
So that's tasteful.
Yeah.
No, that was
Mike's
a dude.
Nodding. That was a dude.
Oh, that was a dude.
All right. It's still tasteful.
Oh, man. I got to take that jack back.
Ambiguous.
Take it back.
Well, it seems like two women
so
do
the
that.
Dude did the oral sex simulation.
Yeah.
And that they just sort of tiled out. By the way, tiling shit out just makes you assume the worst.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's never as bad as what was actually out there. I got bleeped out once when I was on Kimmel because I said I was going to take Hugh Hefner out in the alley and beat the bejesus out of him. Except for when I watched it later that night, it said, "I'm going to take you out to the alley and beat the beep out of you."
Yep.
So I'm sure everyone watching at home just inserted shit
or fuck
into that instead of bejesus. So the tiling out actually causes more imaginary damage than it actually would be if you saw it. But then he went back and made out. Who's his backup band? The Village People? Like, are they all fucking gay? And if you're playing...
Wait a second. Where do you find a gay backup dancer?
No.
So difficult.
The guy was playing the fucking...
Where do you get that?
That's true, man.
I mean, between Chris Judd and Kevin Federline, these guys are all straight.
No, I saw Truth or Dare. There's not a gay man. No, yeah. They're not out there.
You know, on break, they go hunting.
Yeah.
As a group to get closer to God.
I thought it was a gay term, going hunting.
Oh, my God.
It's cruising. No, but the guy who's playing the organ is
gay.
Is that
gay. A gay term?
Well, he made out with his keyboard player.
Right.
And, I mean, he made out with the dude.
Good for him.
I say good for him, too, although if the dude wasn't gay...
Then it's a rough gig, you know?
I say that guy's got a sexual harassment lawsuit there.
Hazard pay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
So this guy, Cooper Lawrence, is the author of The Cult of Celebrity, and he commented about Adam Lambert and his history of being overweight. He said it's common for kids who are made fun of for their weight to act out in that way. Mm-hmm. When you are developing your identity during those important years, your self-image and physical appearance are who you are. Until you develop a life, a resume, and a sense of who you are inside, and you are criticized for weight, it can have a long-lasting impact. The AMAs were the perfect look-at-me-now moment. Yeah. He not only looks amazing, but he is so comfortable with who he is, and it shows.
Well, listen, he's right in that it's pure overcompensation, which is... Rich kids who grow up rich in you know, junior high and high school and stuff, like, you see those guys now as adults, they're dressing in cargo shorts from Old Navy. They're downplaying the money thing. They don't want to get robbed. They don't want they don't want to draw attention to themselves, so and so. Now, the black rapper who grew up in the projects, or the athlete that grew up with the nine brothers and sisters living in the project, he goes out and gets the gold Bentley and the rings and the whatever. It's the same thing that Lambert is doing. The guys who got laid a ton in high school quietly attempt to keep that party train a-rolling after, but they don't draw attention to it because they don't want to draw attention to it. They don't want anyone to put a stop to it. So a guy who didn't get laid in high school, was fat guy in high school, is now overcompensating, acting out, and saying to the world, hey, guess who's sexually attractive?
Story of my life.
Much like the poor athlete is doing now, versus think about all those rich little shits like at Dr. Drew's school. You know, those kids, I just went to his kids' game. I mean, those are all just rich Pasadena kids.
Wearing ripped
you know
up
that,
jeans.
Yeah, they're wearing torn up jeans and t-shirts. None of them are going out with the bling. Right. And I bet their parents are telling them, do not show off with this shit. As a matter of fact, I don't want people following your ass home and casing the house. It's a sort of rich guy, keep it low.
Yeah, I remember my stepdad used to iron. He would help me iron. He would a crease into my jeans.
Mm-hmm.
Because to him, you never went out with wrinkled clothes. It was just, you just didn't. Because he grew up really poor. True. So even your jeans had a crease.
He's like, here's your pregnant jeans.
Here, Precious.
Elastic. Here, Precious.
Can I just say, Precious was... I don't want to ruin it for you, but first of all, you have to see it because Monique, who I know is, you know, nuts, was incredible, and she's going to win an Oscar. But
Precious...
She's
going to be horrible when she wins
I know, it's going to be a disaster, but
worse than Halle Berry.
She had a performance that was like Daniel Day-Lewis good.
Can I say this? Maybe this is the pot calling the kettle black.
Oh, no.
Pardon the pun. But Monique... I think that was Monique's life. I mean, she's a survivor of sexual abuse and so on and so forth, right? So when the tears start coming and the life is there and that, like, was your life?
Right.
In a weird way, you have to kind of deduct some points. Like, Monique, great performance because literally the performance of a lifetime, because literally that was her life.
Right.
So it's like, on one hand, great performance. On the other hand... pretty easy to do because all you have to do is think of your stepdad, and here come the tears.
It's like getting a head start in a race.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because when I saw the girl who played Precious on Oprah, and she had a completely different voice and walk and everything, you kind of appreciated her more, because you realized, oh, that's not... I thought that was a documentary. I thought she really was that girl.
Mm. Right.
But, so, I won't ruin anything for you. It's brief, not really a spoiler alert, but not only is Precious raped by her father... but Monique has at her.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's inferred.
What are you doing at 1 o'clock?
It's really? Inferred. It's inferred.
Same rating? Or R?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see, R?
I think it's an R. It's R. You don't see anything, but there is a moment. And it didn't register while I was watching the movie, but the next day I thought, oh, my God.
Monique went in.
There's a shot of Monique masturbating.
Whoa.
And then you see Precious in the kitchen, and she calls Precious into the room. And cut. but it seems inferred. Okay, sorry to bring everyone down. Okay, this is something I don't even, I'm kind of nervous for how upset this is going to make you. Kind of nervous.
All right, hold on. We have a phone call. Good. Should we tease this a little bit?
Yeah, this is, you could go off.
Okay, let's attempt to speak to Steve from Seattle. Steve?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey guys, what's up?
Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
The question is for you, Adam, but first just wanted to say I'm a big fan of you guys. Love you. Bald Brian, sorry I couldn't make it out to your event the other week,
but I had
donated on the website, hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
My question, like I said, is for you, Adam. I was looking to get my dad a power tool this Christmas for his gift, and I was just wondering what you would recommend.
Makita Random Orbital Sander. Next!
That was obvious, right?
Yeah, I don't know. What's he into?
Well, you know, he does a lot of work on his ranch and stuff, but he's also restoring this old Mustang and shit like that. So I'm just looking to get him something that, you know, is versatile that you can use around his place.
Uh-huh. How much money do you want to spend?
I was thinking about $100-$200.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go wrong with the cordless stuff and the cordless drills, and they have a cordless impact drill now that'll sort of... drive 3-inch drywall screws all day long, so that's pretty good. Why don't you get him one of those combo sets? $100, a little bit cheap. You could get the Ryobi or the Ryobi one. It's not the greatest. You know, it's a Home Depot item that has like a flashlight and a couple of drills in it. But like I said, cordless drill is always good because if you have one, you can still use another one because you can leave a screw tip on one and use the other to put the drill bits in to drill the pilot hole. So I'm just going to go with this stock boring answer and just go Makita cordless drill.
Makita cordless drill. You know what? My buddy said that's exactly what you were going to say, too.
Yeah. Well, you can't go wrong with them. You just can't.
Okay.
Thanks.
Cool.
Take care, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
All right.
What POS did you get for Teresa that one year? You got her a set that was a real piece of crap.
Yeah, it was probably Ryobi or just another. Like, again, no use... stepping up to Porter Cable for you and that fella.
Wait. Who ends up using it is my dad, because my dad can fix stuff.
Yeah, it sounds boring, but once you buy a house, you should have yourself, you should get one of those combo kits that has like the flashlight with the rechargeable battery and the drill with the rechargeable battery and the little saw with the rechargeable battery. And it's like $300-$400 and you have everything you need in one plastic suitcase.
It's nice to have around. Sometimes I do feel a little awkward when I ask my dad to fix something and my husband's there. Should I pretend to ask my husband to fix it when I know he probably doesn't know how to?
Yeah. You know what?
He supports the family.
And there's no shame these days. There should be, but guys just announce they don't know anything about cars or houses. Oh, he would.
He would try, And then I'd have to have my dad go back and...
Does your dad live right here now?
No, but he comes down a lot now that I have a little Buster.
Toss me the story that might make me crawl out of my skin.
Okay. Nicole Richie's getting her own series on ABC.
Ugh.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Tim Willard.
She not only is going to star, she'll be getting a producing credit because she came up with this concept, Adam, all by herself.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. Nicole Richie... We'll
drives
play
the wrong way on the freeway.
High on Viking.
We see how far she gets on ramps.
Wait, I would watch that.
I would watch that.
Yeah. She plays a professional woman with complicated family relationships who's struggling to figure out what role she'll take as her life and her family evolve.
Is there a wacky neighbor? That better be.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be a wacky, smart, sassy-talking neighbor.
Yeah, look, all I'm saying is I've met the girl. I've interviewed her. She told me she had orgasms on the bathroom floor, and she was very prone to orgasms, and she was very wide open, and I had no beefs with her. My beef in general is with the new turn our society has taken where Levi Johnston and Nicole Richie are celebrities. I don't know what she does. I know she drops an album every couple of years, and I know she comes out with a line of kids' clothes.
Clothing collection, a shoe line, and working on her second album.
And things like that. All I'm saying is, when you're watching you ever watched the beginning of, like, I don't know, Entertainment Tonight, or or Access Hollywood or something like that, and they'll do the what are the stars up to, and they'll do like a little montage of, and you'll see, oh, okay, there's Matt Damon and there's the Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, and the six or eight of them will just sort of flash by, Jim Carrey or something. Does Nicole Richie need to be included in that group?
I ask myself why I'm interested in her and her kid, and I kind of am. I think she was on the cover of People, and I read the whole article, and I wanted to see the pictures, and I don't know why, except I think she was my antithesis in high school, and maybe she's still the cool girl that always wears the right clothes and always says the right thing and kind of has the right tone. I don't know. Maybe that's why we're interested in her.
No, I've not met a male who's attracted to her. I've not met a female that would like to have lunch with her.
No, I don't want to have lunch with her, but I'm kind of curious to see her baby pictures. I don't know. What's wrong with me? Maybe because I just had a baby?
Yeah, that's what
you're
it
voyeuristic.
Is.
Yeah. I kind of want to know, like...
And you're hormonal.
Yeah, I want to know everything. Like, does she breastfeed or formula feed, or does she have a nanny? How does it work? Does that baby sleep all night? Does it have baby acne? What?
Right. Well, listen, I'm sure it'll be as good as Rachel Perry's project.
That's right.
Was many years ago. I mean, she's a hysterical, gifted, talented actress. So this is going to be awesome.
My wife loves reading Us Weekly. And under your point of the stars, there's a section called Stars. They're Just Like Us.
Right.
And one of the stars that's just like us is Nadia Suleman, the Octomom. Now, the definition right. of star is being stretched quite a bit here. Don't you have a star in something? She has not starred in anything.
Yes.
She can't be a star.
I agree. I know. It's weird and sad. And by the way, it is the worst of all times that we're living in, because a feller cannot go out and have an affair anymore. It's literally, you can't do it. I mean, if you're a celebrity or a politician or an athlete, you cannot go out and have a mistress like you would in the old days.
Well, you can, but somebody's going to take a nine iron to your car.
Yeah.
You have a choice,
after the Inquirer finds out.
You know, being Steve McNair and being shot by your mistress right. when you're sleeping. Mm. Or you could have your wife find out and go after you with a golf club. Or someone could just write a tell-all book. Or someone could sue your ass. Or either way, there's going to be a press conference, an apology, and a 10-carat ring bought for the old lady. I mean, you cannot have an affair anymore. Pure and simple. End of discussion.
Direct.
And our celebrities are a bunch of just whores that got knocked up, essentially, that aren't really celebrities anymore. I mean, Jesus Christ. It was nice to find out at least what, you know, Judy Garland was strung out on pain medication. All right. There's somebody you recognize. Somebody's done a few things. Someone who was on fucking Broadway, for the love of Christ. All right, Nadia Suleman. All right, anyway.
Now, I don't know if you've never had one of these offers. Like, sometimes you hear stories about Mariah Carey getting paid $2 million to sing at someone's bar mitzvah.
Sure.
Right.
You know, sometimes celebrities get asked to show up at parties and stuff. Fran Drescher and Jason Alexander went to Australia to attend the wedding of a couple they've never met. Jeffrey Edelston, a 66-year-old former doctor. This guy has a little bit of a cloudy history. He went bankrupt after being convicted of hiring a hitman to assault a patient. That being said, for his wedding, he pulled out all the stops. Mm-hmm. He got married to a fitness trainer from America, Bryn Gordon, 26.
Mm.
He's 66. Mm. And they hired Fran Drescher and Jason Alexander to host their $3 million wedding extravaganza. They sent a video invitation out to guests, and that invitation featured Dr. Phil.
Wow.
No word how much these celebs were paid for their appearances.
Well, this stuff goes on all the time, and obviously we always talk about the overseas version of this. George Clooney's doing a commercial, or Sly Stallone is doing a commercial in Japan, and this has always been around. And I've never really had it, as a guy who bashed Mountain Dew for 5 years on the radio and then happily took $50,000 from Mountain Dew to do a voiceover commercial. I understand, no matter how much money you have, and some of these guys, by the way, don't have as much money as you think, but no matter how much money you have, when somebody says, I'll give you $300,000 for afternoon of light lifting, who would say no to that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when someone goes, you mean I can just buy myself a brand new Ferrari, or I can buy myself a hunting lodge in Montana, or I can buy myself a condo in Studio City for literally an afternoon's worth of standing around glad-handing? Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, in this case, free trip to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's nice, and you know, you're making this couple's dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Alexander, though, he's got to have more money.
I was just thinking that. He's got Seinfeld money.
I mean,
but you see, you never really know, because I've talked to those guys. We all know Larry David has a ton of money and Seinfeld has a ton of money, and I'm sure he does,
yeah.
But you don't know for sure, right. I know I'm contradicting myself, because sometimes when you don't have a piece of it, you're not a producer and you're not a creator, you get residuals, but not near what the creators are getting. Speaking of whoring ourselves out, we're going to be at the Irvine Improv on December 16th. Did I mention that at the top of the show?
No.
I just had a brain fart. We're going to be out there doing our Christmas podcast.
Nice.
And I think the Dan Band's going to join us and some other notable celebrities. And you may want to come down. Petros and Money, I think, is going to be there. Ralph Garman, my old buddy from K-Rock, is going to be out there. And that's going to be at the Irvine Improv December 16th. So come on out.
That sounds fun. May I ask about the Dan Band?
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen them or heard of them before, right. Bald Brian's show.
Mm-hmm.
I can't explain why, but that was one of the most entertaining things I've ever seen. I love them. I don't know who they are.
Yes.
I don't quite get it.
People universally liked the Dan Band.
Oh, I've known about them for years, and Dan is a huge fan of our old radio show and of us and of this podcast. And this is funny because his wife is Kathy Najimy.
What? Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
People would know her from Sister Act and Kathy and Mo Show.
Broadway or whatever, but... his wife, I got a phone call about a year ago or 6 months ago from Kathy. You know, it's just like one of those Kathy Najimy called.
Right.
And it was like, why does Kathy Najimy, I never spoke to Kathy. She's never been on the show or anything. Why did Kathy Najimy call? And she called and she said, my husband is a major fan of yours, and he's having his like 40th birthday in Vegas in January, and he would go nuts if you showed up at this party. So I should have actually done what Jason Alexander did.
100
said,
grand.
How much? Come on, bitch. Hey, this sister wants to get in the act. Now pony up.
You can't see it because we're on the phone, but my hand is out.
Yes. So I was like, what, huh? So this is a smaller scaled down version of what we're just talking about, but I think I will be going to Vegas. And anyway, great act. I've seen him at the Palace Theater before, just fun and great. And I don't want to... downsize the act that was done that you saw, Bald
right,
Brian.
Right.
But what you saw was a little bit of the on the road act, not full band
right.
act. Because let's face it, we couldn't pay all the musicians
right,
and
yeah.
all the equipment and the amplifiers and blah, blah, blah. You saw the soundtrack act that he sung to
sure.
and his backup dancer sung to, which is still wildly entertaining. But when you go see the Dan Band in its full effect, there's eight guys playing instruments
oh, really?
In the background. Yeah, which makes the whole thing, kicks it up even to the next level.
He has these backup dancers who are sort of these nerdy guys in a suit and tie,
right.
but mm-hmm. they're dancing really suggestively. I could watch that all night.
Every song, like Gloria and all that stuff, is like, you hate to admit it, but they're great songs.
Yeah, Hips
and,
Don't Lie was
and he just they're all funny, and he's great at it, and it's just whatever. It's the greatest... It's really the best compliment and the worst compliment you can pay to art, which is like when you stand in front of a painting and you go, I know the guy who painted that was really talented, but I don't get it. Like, I don't feel it. Versus, I'm standing in front of a painting. I don't even know what it means, but I love it.
I like that.
That's how I felt. I don't know what this is, but I could watch these guys all night.
That's the best compliment you can pay to an artist.
And I was curious, like Dan, is he a musician? Is he a comedian? At one point, he was molesting Mrs. Bishop.
Yeah, true. That was very comfortable.
He's very funny. He goes out in the audience. He does this improv. He interacts with the audience. I mean, he's a sort of he's a showman, and he was in the Broadway show Stomp.
Oh, really?
By the way, so it's like a background in like musical theater, and he has pretty good voice for a guy in a weird way, sort of novelty singing.
That's why I was
not
confused.
Novelty singing.
He really could sing, and I was trying to figure out if that was a backing track or was he singing?
No, he's singing, and they're singing, and he's talented, and they're going to be at the Irvine Improv December 16th with
us. You really
so
should
enjoy.
Go, yeah.
He referred to my dad as What's Fuck.
What's his fuck?
Oh, yeah.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows, available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
That clip from December of 2009 with Adam and his old news girl, Teresa Strasser, and of course...
I'd say youthful previous news girl.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Jeez. You know what I meant. And
with his old news girl and his cancery sound guy.
Yeah, well, he still is a cancery sound
guy. The human tumor, Bald Brian.
Yep. Bald Brian.
I'm Chris, and I'm really bad with tact.
Oh, boy. I really am. I don't care. I get it.
They don't let you sleep much. Everybody, please take pictures.
I am very sleep deprived, but don't let that stop me. All right, let's keep going with our next clip. We're going to go back to 2013 now, and we're going to hear from Adam and now Allison and Brian.
This is Adam Carolla Show 12:15. Brian Koppelman, David Wild, Def Rat Guy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This portion is just the JV or All Balls.
Yeah.
And it's the first mention of Flynn from Breaking Bad, which is a fan favorite weird thing that Def Rat Guy got caught up on for a little while back in 2013. And this is the first mention. Hope you enjoy.
Beautiful. Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Bald Brian.
Eating's not cheating.
JV wanted that. Oh, speaking of JV, JV wanted that on Twitter.
Yeah,
the top drop.
Def Rat Guy's in studio. You asked for it, you got it.
Hang on, that's a foo.
Yeah, it's been a long time, and the Twitter world is abuzz, awaiting anxiously the return of the Def Rat Guy to the Adam Carolla Show. It's great to have you, Def. Mav.
It's been a long time since the studio has seen my shadow.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Too long.
We're happy to have you. I know you're going to do All Balls or JV.
It's all good.
Right. I know you have some Christmas songs you want to sing.
We'll play them. I can't. It would take too long to do the pitch correction.
I understood. And then also understand that you want to float on with the floaters, but I don't know how that's going to work.
I'm down for it, bro.
But do you just sort of feel the beat of it? I know that
it's got a great bass groove. You can feel that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know, like, there's deaf schools and like their football team, they go the snap, they hit the bass drum,
yeah.
And they feel the concussion of it.
You feel the bass. You take a look at these guys. A lot of them, know, with all due respect to them, I wouldn't want to see in a dark alley.
Oh. You want to see some of the deaf guys?
The floaters.
Oh, a lot of the floaters. Yeah, yeah.
I got the vibe, and I found a site that had all the lyrics.
Okay, so you understand. But now you don't use their lyrics. You know, when you're trying out for the floaters, you'd be, you know, a Mav, Capricorn, you know what I mean, girl, if you want to walk on the beach, I'm the guy to walk with, you know, that kind of thing.
They told me I'm supposed to memorize the lyrics.
Oh, no. I don't know who told you you're supposed to memorize the lyrics.
Got some bad info.
Yeah. No, it's just about, you know, you don't have to memorize anything. It's just your night, like what you would do on a date if you were taking a girl out and, you know, you're going to go out and go to a nice meal and then, you know.
Like what kind of lady I would like.
What kind of lady you would like and, like, what kind of evening you would like with her.
Because when they told me memorize these lyrics by the floaters, I'm like, really?
Yeah. Right. Understood. All right. So Def Rat Guy is with us. Brian Koppelman and David Levine are going to come in here. And they actually just finished a 30 for 30 that I don't know if they just finished it, but I just finished watching it. It's the whole one on Jimmy Connors, which is it's funny because we all remember McEnroe as being an asshole.
Yeah.
Connors was a bigger asshole than McEnroe.
Doesn't get his asshole due?
Does not get his a-do. He doesn't get his doo-doo.
His doo-doo-doo?
Yeah, well, no, when you're an asshole and you don't get your doo, it's just you don't get your doo-doo. But he was, you know, yelled at more linesmen and was a bigger pain in the ass and meaner to the other guys on the tour and all that kind of stuff, either before or louder than McEnroe.
Why does he get his run as a
I don't know. When you
Did he do it with a smile? I have an image of Connors in my mind doing it with a smile, whereas McEnroe always seemed angry.
I got to say this. I think some of it, and let's face it, we're wired this way.
Racism.
I swear to God, 70s hair.
Oh.
He had cool hair.
And McEnroe had that sort of afro with the headband.
Yeah, which gave you essentially two afros.
Yeah.
It was like North and South Korea.
A snowman-shaped afro.
Yeah.
I think McEnroe was an asshole and Connors was a dick.
Oh, yeah, that could have been. Yeah. I'm just saying, Connors had a sort of all-American look, and McEnroe had a sort of crazed guy in the subway look, and it just fit the narrative. It just worked well. But Connors was well-known as being prickly and a douchebag to everyone else, and McEnroe was sort of talking about it in this 30 for 30 about what a douche he was and how he kind of learned it from him and he wasn't nice to anybody. And it's like, but as I grew up, just sort of, you know, I wasn't following the circuit or anything. But yeah, look, you look at a picture of the guy and you go, oh, it's not the guy from ABBA.
Yeah, he looks sweet and innocent.
He's a nice guy. Like, when you look like, well, they
he didn't mean whatever he said.
They do it with kids all the time. They show, like, the pretty blonde over there, and then there's the husky chick over there with the frizzy hair, and they go,
hello,
which one's nice and which one's mean? And they just point at the one with the frizzy hair and go, she's the mean one.
I actually, growing up, more than once, it would come out that someone's parent assumed I was a bad influence, and I could not have been a better influence. I erased graffiti, for Christ's sake, thinking that was an act of rebellion in school. But I think it's because I didn't look like that girl from Little House on the Prairie, Nellie Olson, who also was bad.
There was a friend of mine named Henner Tahir.
Wait, Adam, can you describe what's going on the screen?
Yes, we're looking at Bjorn Borg. Is that what we're trying to do?
I think it's supposed to be McEnroe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see Connors again. That dude looks like
that is McEnroe, Jack. Dude. That's Bjorn Borg we're looking at. But anyway, Henner Tahir was told specifically when his parents went in to have a discussion, I think in the ninth grade, with the teacher, there's no problem with your son. Your problem is he hangs out with Adam Carolla. Like, he was literally, and then I was banned. I mean, this never got
from
to my
entire house.
Yeah, my parents never went in for those nights, which was, by the way, the greatest just sort of tacit agreement that two fighters could have. Like, you don't want to punch me. I don't want to punch you. You don't want to get hit. I don't want to get hit. We both want to get our paycheck and get the fuck out of this arena. That's how I sort of that was my approach to school. And my parents were like, I know you don't want us going in there and we don't want to fucking take a Wednesday night and go sit around. And by the way, hear what a horrible student you are? Like, that can't feel good.
You're not showing up for good news.
It's mutual assured destruction.
Right, right. So they said, look, we'll stay home. And I was like, good. And that was, you know, we both just sort of, it was like in the movie The Town, when they all were in the nuns' outfits and they came pulling up in the minivan and the cop looked at him. He just slowly turned the other way. That was what my parents did with Open House. But Henner Tahir's parents didn't. His parents went in and they said specifically, don't fucking hang around with that guy.
How'd you find out?
He told me. Ugh. I mean, no, he told me because...
Oh,
because
I wondered why you weren't invited anymore.
Well, no, I did the after school day when I say we go back to your place and I put down a gallon or two of Ovaltine because we didn't have anything that tasted good in my house. And he's like, you can't come by my house. My dad told, you know, you'll hear the pump of a shotgun and a go on get. You come up.
What percentage of kids in your class were you made out to be the scapegoat for their bad behavior?
This is the only confirmed one.
Okay.
I know one of my most delightful conversations is with Coach Nielsen from the varsity football team when he pulled me aside and described my buddy Ray's personality. And you have to understand when you hear these words at 16 and a half, they all sound, everything's a delight at 16 and a half, but when he described him as abrasive,
I just remember thinking, yeah, I never heard that one. Like, I just call him a dickhead or douche fuck or something, but abrasive sounds good. Like, that is Ray. He is abrasive.
DFG, did you go to a deaf school?
Yeah, I went to deaf, at school until I went to SD.
Right. Yeah, he was a, what are you? You must be about a 13th year senior now, or are you still there?
I'm still working on it a little bit because
is Delta Fu still going strong?
Hell yeah, bro.
Oh, okay.
We have chapters all over the place now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It, I'm proud to say the state of the Delta Fu Union is strong.
Uh-huh. Oh, good, good. Do you want to do – do you want to prepare a little all balls or JV or all balls? Because I really like JV or all balls. And I'll tell you what. Why don't you – just prime yourself over there.
Okay, this is a fun game called All Balls or JV.
Right. And do we have an intro for DFGF? I feel like we must have at least Dick.
We wouldn't be able to hear it anyway.
Oh, that's right. Oh. All right. Dick Banks doesn't have a JV.
He can feel it, though.
He doesn't. Not an All Balls or JV, but Dick Banks never did a Def Frat Guy song. I feel like there must be a Def Rec Guy song somewhere. But anyway, let's hear it.
He did, but I'd also be remiss if you didn't spend 7 minutes talking about audiobooks.
Sorry. I forgot about your temper.
The one thing he has, books. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, this is called All Balls or JV. Uh-huh. I will list something, and we'll go around. Mm-hmm. Start with Allison, then go to the Ace Man, then to BB.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. And you got – it's a speed round.
All right. So we got to hurry. All right.
Okay. And All Balls is bad.
Right? JV is bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry.
Dude, bro. Bro.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
All Balls is good. JV is bad. Okay. Right. All right. We'll start with you. The new Wendy's chick, the redhead.
Is JV.
All Balls.
Oh, Allison, you suck at this.
I don't know what she looks like. I felt a lot of pressure.
No, she's All Balls.
Okay, hey, 5 o'clock gin, the thinking man's bargain basement spirit.
All Balls.
Hell yeah. Brian, a spirited round of Russian ookie cookie.
Spirit, it is spirited. No, no, that's All Balls.
Hell yeah.
Wait, no!
Hold on, there's Russian Ookie Cookie?
Yeah, it's like with that movie.
Do you know Ookie Cookie, Allison?
I don't.
Oh.
Here we go.
Let's see. It's when guys in a fraternity.
They don't have to be in a fraternity. They just be friends.
Oh, okay. It helps to be in a fraternity.
Someone jizzing on a cookie.
Yeah, that's what it is. But this, but you don't.
Or a cracker.
Or a cracker. Yeah, right. They're not weirdos.
Or biscotti.
That's right.
Don't have to be a cookie.
That's right. Right.
And then you have to eat one? That's
well,
the...
no, then there's a Russian roulette. Yeah, oh, yeah, eat yeah. it. But this is the Russian roulette you version of Okie Cookie. That's right.
This is like, it's like you're trying to beat off so you don't have to eat a Ritz cracker filled with jizz, and then you got some dude being like, mow, mow.
Right. So in the Russian roulette version of Okie Cookie, is it whoever finishes last has to eat it? Or is that just straight Okie Cookie?
That's straight Okie Cookie. Russian roulette is there's one cookie that goes around.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, am I going to get that cookie?
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Or
right.
crack or, you know,
right.
Ritz.
Right, right, right. Whatever it is.
I prefer Ritz.
Okay, understood. Oh, yeah, because you do. Yeah. If you're going to lose, let's not make it lose-less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, at least if it's on a cracker yeah. you like.
If it's a saltine, then you're kind of, you know, fuck both ways.
Or if the rice cake.
Oh, bad news.
Yeah, plus... He presents a huge target.
I'd almost prefer it to be jizzed on.
Yeah, yeah, terrible. Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it straight from the udder. Thank you. I don't need it on a saucer, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Who turn is it?
Mine.
Allison.
Oh, okay. Flynn from Breaking Bad.
Oh, All Balls.
He's one of our finest actors.
Okay. That's good. Good answer.
And the born-again Christian hooker who told Poochie's uncle, Jesus love you long time.
Oh, that's All Balls.
Hell yeah.
All right, thank you. Poochie's uncle, you still hang around with Poochie's uncle?
Yeah, he's going through a pretty rough divorce right now. He married a lady from the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
It was actually that chick.
Oh, okay. And oh, she was a prostitute?
Well, she was born, but then she was
born
here,
again.
She was here for a week, and she decided that, you know, Putin's uncle was not the dude she married over the mail or the internet.
Uh huh. I see.
She goes back. I thought she looked like Manny Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm.
She goes back to the Philippines a week later. Then there's this giant typhoon.
Typhoon, right.
And Putin's uncle called her and's like, I still love you. Are you okay?
Right.
And she's like, don't ever call me again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then the typhoon.
No, the typhoon.
Oh, typhoon.
That's why
first.
He called.
First.
Oh, he called first. Oh, okay. And as Pucci's uncle, I know he had a unique sort of medical condition.
He does sit on his balls a lot.
Right. And then that can cause, it sounds funny, but there's a torsion. And you cut off the blood supply. There's really an issue there.
It's called torsion of the testicle. And when it happens over and over, you are in danger of losing the testicle.
Right. So it's a pretty serious medical condition.
There's no name for it yet.
I understand, but maybe Pucci's uncle could do like a PSA or something. Because I feel like I'm full up with breast cancer and click it or ticket and all that kind of stuff. Sitting on your balls is something I'm more apt to do, and, you know, later on in life.
Yeah, and it doesn't get as much coverage, you know, the mm-hmm. sitting on the balls.
And this where, you know, we're sick of the pink in the NFL already. Time to stop. Give a blue ribbon.
Blue balls.
Yeah.
Right. Understood. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hey, what do you think guard dogs that have huge cranks are?
Is that all balls? That's all Hell balls. Yeah, yeah that's yeah. all balls.
Brian, what yeah. about the actors who play the cuckold in that cuckold porn?
Oh, that's JV.
Hell yeah. They're some of the worst actors. Yeah.
The acting is deplorable.
Now, wait a minute. You're talking about the guy who's fretting while his wife is getting banged by the big black dude?
The dude can't act for shit. He just sit there for 15 minutes shaking his head.
Well,
there's no arc. There's no arc to his...
Yeah, so you want this guy to have a sort of beginning, middle, and end.
But in the end, like during the money shot, he's still shaking his head.
Right. Oh. You feel like he's got one speed. So it's like... You feel like that actor should first walk in and have a look of surprise, you know? And then at a certain point, he should almost just accept his fate. And
then go through different stages. Like, right, first right. it'd be shock.
Right. I want to see some different.
Denial.
I want to see some different gears here. He's just bargaining. Going sort of Keanu Reeves straight line. Right. You know, like Keanu Reeves in Speed. Just a flat line, like right through the thing. I want to see this guy have some De Niro-esque highs and lows, like Raging Bull.
It's like, dude, you put your head in your hand for like the fifth time.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah, and they shake it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, dude, really?
Well, okay, but DFGs, the guys in the cuckolding porn genre, you know, that's not my thing. But I don't feel like I'm focused on that actor as much as I am on what's going on next to
Sounds
him,
like
you know?
He has hyper
vigilance.
Porn hypervigilance mm-hmm. where it's distracting to him.
You know that bad acting.
Right.
Good acting, you just become you
just the guy's wife's getting fucked by the black guy?
You become part of the
right.
of the film.
Right. Yeah. Understood. So yeah, those guys need to step it up. I don't know who does that appeal to? I don't know, but I can tell you who it appeals to. If you Jim Norton, if you ever ask, like, who the fuck gets off to women stepping on cockroaches while they're masturbating, it's like, whatever it is, Jim Norton will be your answer for that, number one. But number two, yeah, if that does appeal to you and you feel like that guy who plays the husband of the chick who's getting nailed by the black dude is mailing it in, or it's not really that guy, you're out. See what I'm saying? Thank you. I couldn't agree more with you, different guy.
It's something that needs to be addressed.
Again.
Arguably, his is the most important role in the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, otherwise, it's just a porn.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It needs to be addressed. And again, another opportunity for a PSA. All right, thank you.
Hell yeah, I did have two more.
All right.
I think it's my turn.
Yeah. Oh, doing a standing 69er in space.
I suspect it's all balls.
Hell yeah. Okay. Ace, this is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Axe Black Chill. It is a new fragrance by Axe, which is energized with fresh citrus and mint with a cedarwood undertone.
It's called Axe Black Chill?
Not Dark Temptation.
Right. Black Chill.
Yeah.
I don't like anything called Axe put in front of the word black because I feel it's pejorative. I feel I've always joked that I thought the black community thought that body spray was called Axe. And that's out of line, I know. But I'm a comedian. I'm allowed to say that. So when you put Axe and then black, to me, that's an attack on the black community. Thank you. And I'm sensitive.
The last one is for...
So that's JV, sorry.
JV, yeah, that's right. Act Dark Temptation, though, all ball.
Yeah, that's good. That's
it's
good.
Bobby Canning's fragrance.
Oh, Bobby Canning. Oh, does he have a pejuria? Yeah. Is that a different guy?
It's Bobby. He's a little guy, but he rolls jujitsu.
Oh, he rolls in jujitsu.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good stand-up, takedown defense.
But he's the guy who has that disease where... He
looked pretty old. He looked like right now, I don't know, he probably looks like about 110 years old.
But he's only like 19 or
like
something?
Like 2'10".
But is he like 19 or something?
Yeah, he's probably 18, 19. You know, he's the dude that used to buy us beer when he was 7 or 8.
Right, right. Because when he was 7 or 8, he looked like he was 65. Yeah, I know.
He's a primordial dwarf.
No, he's got progeria.
Well, he's 2 feet tall.
Well, it stifles, it ages you like that Benjamin Button's movie.
But forward.
Forward. Okay. So if you got a guy living on your block who's 7 or 8, he may look like he's 65. So that's the dude who's going to buy your beer when you're 17.
That's turning lemons into Mike's.
Well, yeah, what other purpose would he serve?
He likes twisted tea, but I got to get him into Mangria.
Oh, yeah, he's drinking the twisted tea.
Bobby's classic. He's all got like a Kool in one hand and a twisted tea or a Mike Todd lemonade, apple, you know. But I need to get him, we need to can Mangria.
Oh, that's good, yeah. I know you were into Zima pretty strong for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Tequiza, I think, was your drink.
Tequiza, it had that, you know, subtle undertone of lime.
Uh-huh.
With a hint of, beer taste.
Right, yeah.
And
no.
Bobby wears Axe Dark Temptation.
Yeah, that's his fragrance.
All right, sorry, where were we?
The last one goes to Brian.
Okay.
Mm. Creative Pecker Play.
That's got to be all balls.
No, dude, I think it's JV because
Moose
is still up with the Jacks.
Moose?
With the San Francisco Jacks.
Oh, that's right. I remember we called them, right.
And he says he's been doing everything. He says he's over that shit. He doesn't want to see another crank, you know, for a long time.
Right, Moose. Right.
Yeah. And but he has to keep working there because of the economy.
Right. Understood. All right. Def Rat Guy, I know it's again tough, but you can kind of feel the beat as far as the floaters go. And just for the record, all balls are JV. I love that. And I agree. The cuckolding actor spot, really, those guys need to fucking step their game up.
Yeah,
because it's JV. Well, I don't know what else to say.
It's about time someone called him out on it. Like, it's gone unnoted for too long.
Right.
It's been way too long.
Right.
And it's gotten to the point where there was one time where I almost lost wood. I was so pissed.
Wow. Woo. He was this upset. He was this close to not coming. So get ready for some floaters. And we'll give you a little taste of how it actually sounds. You can pick up the vibes. And then, you know, step in and do a little Def Rat Guy. Borrow.com, baby. You need cash. You need it fast. Tuition. Unexpected medical bills. Car repair. Go to the bank. Max out the credit card. What do you do? BORRO.com. It's brilliant. It's easy. It's smart. It's fast. You can get cash wired right to your accounts. Just visit borrow.com/Adam. I talked to these guys. Very reasonable. Very reasonable. They just, what you do is you go, I need some cash. And they go, well, what do you got? And they go, I got a car. I got some jewelry. I got a ring. I got whatever. And they go, all right, just borrow against it. And they can do the appraising. They can go online and go online and check it out and do the praising. And they wire the money in your account in as little as 24 hours. My listeners get a zero interest rate for the first month. See how much cash they can get you wired to your account within 24 hours? Totally interest free. For a month, Dawson.
Even if you don't need cash today, try borrow.com right now just to see how it works. Pick any valuable item you own. Go to borrow.com/Adam and chat with a Borrow agent. In minutes, you'll get a range of how much cash you could have wired into your account in 24 hours. Visit borrow.com/Adam. Borrow.com/Adam.
All right, Defrek guy. I'll give you a little shot of the floaters, just 15 seconds of the actual floaters, and then we'll just kind of do the music bed, and you just kind of check it out, you know?
And my name is Ray. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom, and I like a woman who can hold her own.
There's a lot of bass.
Mm-hmm. You can hear it, right?
It's a good thing it's a strong groove. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And my name is Charles.
Pulling up the lyrics, I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Now I like a woman that's quiet.
Quiet?
A woman who carries a stuff.
I like a toaster oven that's quiet.
I wonder what bothers me with words.
Like a space heater and a.
Now my name is Paul.
One of those fart fans in my bathroom. Quiet. It's a woman that's quiet. Cancer. Is that even a trait? Just. I mean, I know it's a trait, but I mean, it's like saying I like a bagel that's quiet. Like, what's that?
What are you saying?
What are you saying? What are you going after here? Oh, wait, yeah.
I am the rooster.
We need a zodiac sign.
Rooster.
No.
Chinese calendar.
Nobody's going to check.
Bang Lo Su.
No, these guys name like.
I'm 5'1".
Ooh.
Full head of hair.
No.
I love to play Paigao all day, all night with flip-flop on.
Is it Chungwag?
Bang Lo Su.
All right, you get the idea.
You introduce yourself.
Yeah, and so you know, you'd say, I'm Maverick. You know,
I like a lady who.
Right. Yeah. Give your sign out.
Stein.
Your sign. All right. So we play a little music bed for Mav, you know, and you just kind of feel the groove.
Can you get that bass up and see here? My name is DFG, Def Rat Guy for short. Hell yeah. My sign is Pisces, the fish. Because I am deaf as a haddock, stool to the gills, and I piss wherever I want.
I guess fish do that, don't they?
Yeah, they don't give a shit where they piss.
Yeah, I've never even seen a fish pissing. Like, no one ever goes, man, I was swimming and a fucking fish pissed on me.
Cloud of fish piss.
Yeah, it never happens. Even when they're scared.
My rising sign is Scorpio.
Oh, that's your rising, yeah.
You dig me, I'll fuck you. Whether with the potato gun or some of my bros. What I'm looking for in a lady is maybe the mysterious sensuality of an Amanda Knox.
Oh, you mean the one who killed the...
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Was she the one that got... Was she the one that was accused of murder in Italy, or is that the one who was killed by one of the Kennedys? Was it Knoxley and a Knox?
She was acquitted for murder.
She was acquitted for murder. Oh, okay. You want someone like her?
I like it. It's dangerous.
Right. I get it.
I like the new Wendy's chick a lot.
Right. The redhead?
Yeah, she takes a big bite of the burger. I like that. And I like the quiet wisdom of Taco Bell executive chef Lorena Garcia.
She does have a certain dignity about her. You're right. There's a quiet wisdom there.
Frightful.
She always said, if you keep your heart open, love will always find its way in.
Yeah. I do like when those commercials have an executive chef.
Yeah.
She knew what they needed to make a change.
Right. Yeah. That taco salad's not going to make itself.
No.
It needs a watchful eye.
But I also like a lady who takes care of herself down below. I don't want that thong coming off and... you know, I'm face to face with the pitch of Brian Williams' beard.
Right.
But I don't also want to, you know, be staring at a plucked chicken.
Right.
If I wanted that, I'd go to the supermarket.
Right, right. Yeah, you want some nice balance in there. Right.
Try any ass play on me, I'll punch you in the face.
Right. Now, don't drop a digit on DFG is what you're saying. But you're being up front.
Hell yeah.
About the backside.
Yeah. Oh, I love a lady who knows when it's time to pull the trigger.
What does that mean?
You know, to make herself boot so she can do another cake stand.
Oh, I see. Sounds like she can make herself throw up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she can keep partying?
Yeah, because there's too much liquid in there.
Right, right.
Let me see. Oh, I like a beautiful lady. Try Del, Chi Omega, hell, even an AD Pi.
Oh, yeah. Like that, too. Is Ashley in there? Are you still staying in touch with Ashley?
She's working in PR.
Which Ashley?
The one with the brown, you know, the Brian Wilson bush.
Oh, okay. Not the shaved Ashley.
She went full circle or whatever.
Oh, that's shaved Ashley?
Yeah, she's the full... Yeah, I don't know what the situation is now.
Right, so you're saying shaved Ashley is a full bush now?
Yeah, she's like one of those dudes that, you know, that can, like, grow a beard in 2 days.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's always experimenting.
Maybe for November.
She's experimenting, right. Mm-hmm.
And then, the best one. I like a lady who throws in a big freaking dip of grizzly and then blows you so you get a nice nicotine buzz while you are getting a Wendy.
So if she puts dip in and goes down on you, you'll catch a nicotine buzz while you're getting a blowjob.
Especially if the...
Did you do it up front?
Yeah, if the plug makes contact with your frenulum or whatever the shit.
Frenulum?
The underside.
The underside.
Yeah.
Wow, man.
I'm learning so much.
This is just great. This
but don't get any of that dip spit down your pee hole.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want to get it down. Man, I just feel enlightened.
Yeah, this is his message of seduction to the ladies.
Yeah. Def Rat Guy, this is nothing short of impressive. This is powerful.
And then this is the last thing I wanted to give you a heads up. I found a really cool thing. I've been friends with this a really cool Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me that for a potato gun, it's much better to put in ether than Aquanet.
Ether's better than Aquanet.
Yeah, I
for a potato gun.
Yeah, I busted out my Aquanet, and the dude's like, don't even, like, get out of here.
Right.
You know? Still has an earring of, you know, like, one of those necklace things with ears on it.
Right. So he said use the ether if you're going to use a potato gun.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's hard to get.
It's hard to get, but it's much more effective.
Yeah.
It's got a much greater, I think, like, muzzle velocity, I think they
like
call it.
It's like putting jet fuel in a Elantra or whatever.
Right. I'm sure. So you're going to have a Nissan that's going to go 700 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's just a good sign.
If you can get your hands on ether, that's the problem.
Right.
And we are working, the Delta Food Legal, we're working on getting the access easier.
Access, right. But until then, it's just Aquanet's going to have to do.
Yeah, or, you know, go to a local hospital. Maybe you'll get lucky.
Right. Understood. Anyway, it is one of those things, like someone would yell at you. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, you announced that you were going to get your master's degree in architecture, uh-huh. And they said, yeah, you'd be better off trying to grow avocados in Anchorage.
Uh-huh.
But
that's the saying that should be.
Dawson's going to make it happen, yeah, buddy?
Yeah, I don't – you know what? We can have the meeting, dude, but no, you need sunlight.
Come on, man. Don't go in with that attitude.
Okay, we'll make it happen.
You do it like the DFG, like over at Delta Foo. You use the grow lights in the basement, right, right, DFG?
Hell yeah, there's a foo.
All right. Visit gotomeeting.com, click on the try it free button, and use the promo code Adam. You can sign up for 30 days. Get a 30-day free trial at gotomeeting.com. Promo code Adam. Meeting is believing. All right. DFG, deffratguy.com is where you go for all your holiday merch needs. You got a two-for-one price on the DFG stickers going on.
And, bro, you didn't say anything about my tank.
Yeah, you look hot in your tank top. Yeah. I know. I still miniature funnels for your keychain.
It's a great docking duffer. It worked for Hanukkah, too. A lot of dudes would put the man...
What the Manischewitz?
Yeah,
into the mini funnel.
Yeah, and you know, it's discreet.
It's discreet, right?
Made here in America.
So it's basically saying, like, if you're trapped in traffic and you can't get to your funnel...
Exactly.
Here's one that's on your keychain.
Yeah, and like... Yeah, I'm coming here. I was stuck in traffic, and I'm like, where's my funnel? Right. I didn't have it because I couldn't get it. You know, I don't...
Right. But you have your keychain funnel. So you're never caught without
your
funnel.
You're never funnel-less.
Yeah, you're never funnel-less.
Yeah, it's very discreet.
Very discreet. Also, Def Rec Guy's best friend, Josh Gardner's got a Christmas album. It's an All Balls Christmas out there, and you can download it, by the way. It's available on Black Friday on Amazon.
Bro.
Yeah.
He produced it. I'm the dude singing.
Oh, you're singing it.
Yeah, some of the most beloved Christmas classics.
Mm-hmm.
And
Do we have a little sample of
I think we'll have the one about
Poochie's balls, Poochie's balls, Poochie's uncle's balls. He sits on them all the time because they hang so low. Poochie's balls, Poochie's balls, Poochie's.
This is what's been missing.
Doctor said if it happens, finally, his balls will have to go. A day or two ago, Poochie texted me. His uncle was in the hospital, hooked to an IV. He sat down on his balls. He crushed them both like grapes. The doctor wasn't even sure if they regained their shape. Oh, Poochie's balls, Poochie's balls, Poochie's.
All right, you get the idea.
There's
other great Christmas holiday favorites as well. There, yeah. You could sing along. And again, it makes me lament that I had... As a youth, I did not have, like, Poochie's Uncle's balls playing
Batman
in the background.
Yeah, Batman Smells, and that's it.
That's all we had. Yeah. Robin laid an egg. Nonsense. All right, DFG. All right, let me tell you about Jordan Harbinger, a different kind of sponsor for this podcast, the Jordan Harbinger Show. It's, if you're a fan of fascinating podcasts with interesting people, you should definitely check it out. There's an episode for everyone, no matter what you're into. Jordan talks with Scott Adams about persuasion in a world where facts don't matter, or go inside the dark world of wildlife trafficking. You'll always find something useful, and you can apply it to your own life, like routine changes to boost productivity, or slight mindset tweaks that change how you see the world. Jordan's an interesting dude. Spoken to him on many occasions. We enjoy his show, and I think you will too. Search it out. The Jordan Harbinger Show. That's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R. And you can find Jordan's show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to finer podcasts. It's the Jordan Harbinger Show.
That clip from 2013 talking about Flynn from Breaking Bad. Oh, DFG. I love you. All right, let's get going with our final clip of the day, and let's do an Ace Awards. I mean, we just heard the Ace Awards this year, but let's go back to 2010 and hear what the Ace Awards were like.
End of the year, I'm always in an Ace Awards mood or a State of the Union mood, and this is very Ace Awards-y, Chopped and Screwed edition. I don't think we've played these for about 4 years now. This is Adam Carolla Show 467, Brian Bishop. This is from December of 2010. It's the 2010 Ace Awards, Chopped and Screwed. Cut all the fat out. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, shall we do a couple Ace Awards? Yeah? Let's start that. Let's get started with that. What do we got?
This is Best Musical Performance.
Ah, okay. Best Musical Performance.
The nominees for Best Musical Performance are Bald Brian for Isaac Hayes and Joan Osborne Mashup.
I'm gonna die. When he says yeah again, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. God is great. Yeah. 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 God is good. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Oh, do I love that.
Oh, I can't get enough.
We have to release this.
Mary Lynn Rice Cub for rapping to her son.
I use this in the morning with my son. Change your poopy diaper if you want to go to school. Do you want to go to school? Let's get that poopy diaper off. Let's brush your teeth. No, you don't want to brush your teeth. How about a bath? You don't want to take a bath? Take off your pajamas, gotta take off your pajamas if you wanna go to school. Seriously, you gotta take off your pee-pee poopy diaper, cause people at school don't wear pee-pee poo-poo diapers.
Wow.
Josh Gardner, Untitled Folk Song.
I wrote this song when I was in college. I was a freshman and had never really been away from home. I miss my girlfriend a lot. She still had 3 more years of high school. But I had my guitar, and I heard there was an open mic night at the coffee house. So I went down there and just kind of wung it, you know, and this is what I came up with.
You know I need you, but I need to love you better. I need to love you like the winter needs a sweater. Oh, fuck my pussy tonight. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Fuck my pussy tonight.
Turns out the dean was at the show. And I got suspended for the whole semester. My parents were really PO'd because they had played the tuition in full. But
oh, fuck my pussy tonight.
Yeah, the great Josh Gardner, everybody. Well, the best musical performance. Let's figure out who won this, baby. And the winner is
Ace
Isaac Hayes. Wasn't sure if I was doing that or not.
What?
Yeah, Isaac.
What?
Isaac, you must be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. You a big fan of Joan Osborne?
Yeah.
Oh, you like her?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know if you guys crossed paths before.
It's good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you... Oh, well, yeah, it's ironic that she's singing about God being one of us and you being dead and all.
It's a good thing.
Okay, good. So you won that trophy. We'll go ahead and get that right out to you.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. This is uncomfortable, Isaac. I'm not sure how we get you the plaque or the trophy or the certificate. Yeah, all right. You don't really need it where you're at anyway, right?
No.
No. Taking harp lessons, sitting on a cloud. Having sex with Princess Grace.
Yeah.
Wow. Isaac Hayes and Princess Grace on the same cloud. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations, big man. We really appreciate it. Coming up next, I believe we have Best Impression. Let's see who the candidates are.
The nominees for Best Impression are Dana Gould as Huell Hauser.
Now, I saw the book Our Bodies, Ourselves, and what many people won't know is that women have a bum in their front and they throw up people with it.
No, Huell. It's called a vagina.
I don't speak Spanish, what I do know is that they have like a man, they have what I could only call a front bum, and something happens where they poop like a little dude.
Frank Stallone as Sylvester Stallone.
If I said to him, you know, a year ago, what's up with Frank? Well, what do you think he would say?
He probably wouldn't say anything.
But what if I got him drunk and said, what's up with Frank?
They probably go, yeah.
And what if I gave him a Quaalude and I asked him, what's up with Frank? And what if I gave him an ether rag and asked him what's up with Frank?
It would be...
And Dana Gould as Paul Stanley from Kiss.
They never bothered to loop Paul Stanley's speaking voice, which is really like, Star Child, Freeman, Terry and Julia trapped on the Ferris wheel at the amusement park.
I know.
We better save them.
He was like a gay guy from Flatbush or something.
He was like your aunt. He was like your mom's friend.
Right.
Star Child, Freeman, I had half a coffee cake here and now it's gone. What the hell? If you just told me you wanted it, I would have bought two. I had a coupon.
Oh, the great Dana Gould. And the winner in the best impression category is Frank Stallone. American Indian accepting his award. Boy, we got some good stuff coming up. We got Best Fight coming up, Best Reenactment coming up.
I just realized, I think you can pretty much give the award to whoever you want. Because there's no envelope or recorded announcement. We can give it to whoever we want.
Oh, right, we can just yell out whatever we want.
Yeah, whatever makes you laugh the most, I guess, or what have you.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Should we, you know what? Let me give a quick shout out to one of our fine sponsors. That's right, Pinnacle College. Always wanted to work in the music industry. Technology now on your side, namely Pinnacle College. They can show you how. They got computers, music software, and applications. They will teach you how to do it. Want to get in it? Maybe you want to do this. Maybe you want to sit in the next room with Dawson and the Wheez. Yeah. Pinnacle College will teach you the necessary how to work the software, Apple Logic, Pro Tools, Cubase. Again, I don't know what Cubase is, but they'll teach it to you. Classes start January 31st. I think our own Dawson's going over there on the 24th. Is that right, Dawson?
I think that's when school starts for the audio engineering program. I'll have to double-check it, but that's what I heard.
Old dog like Dawson can still be taught a few new tricks by our good friends over at Pinnacle College. And again, let's focus, people. Forget about the 5 years of putzing around Humboldt State and coming back with a nice buzz and a suntan and a scar from a hacky sack injury. Contact Pinnacle College at pinnaclecollege.edu or give them a call, 877-206-6206. 877-206-6206. Good people, good program. Let's get going, and we'll become Renaissance men tomorrow. All right, shall we keep moving with the ACE Awards? What's up next?
The nominees for Best Reenactment are Adam and Bryan Cranston as Charles Manson and Tex Watkins.
Had to be weird, like at some point when Charlie pulled Tex aside and like Charlie was like, look, why don't you gather up all the super sexually active, hot 19-year-olds who don't mind pulling trains all weekend long with us over here. I want you to get them some steak knives and send them up the hill to do some high-profile murdering. And Tex must have been like,
I'm sorry, what was that last part?
Charlie, we got a pretty good thing going on here. I wonder if we should kill everyone on a hill.
We're stealing steak knives? And
No. I'm saying no more orgies.
No more orgies?
No. No, we're killing now.
Oh, we're killing them, all right.
Hold on, Tex. No, not sexually.
Oh.
Right. What I need you to do is get some knives together. Okay, I'm going to stay here.
You're staying here.
I'm going to stay here.
I'm getting knives.
Bring the Oldsmobile around.
Oldsmobile coming.
Get all the hot 19-year-olds we're formerly having sex with.
Don't kill them in the car.
No. Put them in the car.
Put them in the car.
Go up to the hill.
Okay.
And go find, like, Sharon Tate's house and stab everybody.
I have one of them Stars Maps magazines.
Use that. Yeah. But, again, the sexual party is over for a little while down here. We're going to start a race ride.
All right.
Adam and Teresa as Joe and Jessica Simpson.
You could see her dad having talks with her when she was 16 or 15 and a half. Listen, hold on, let me put my other stud earring on. Hold on. How my tips look?
Excellent.
Okay, now listen. You got those huge jugs.
Yeah.
Those big, juicy D cups.
Dad.
Beautiful, supple powder.
Dad.
With their massive areolas. And there are going to be plenty of boys that are going to want to get their
hands, nay, mouth.
Aww,
those big, beautiful, beautiful, milky, milky, smooth, white, heaving jugs of yours, okay? They're going to want to do things called the motorboat. There's something called TFing that I got. Honey, get the dry erase board. I got to draw the sweat out. Hold on. How am I tips looking?
Can we end family meeting?
Okay, but point is this. You don't give it up. Don't give it up for none of them. At some point, some guy coming along playing the blues guitar, some skinny white guy with a cool haircut who wears one of them Borat Speedos on a cruise ship, he's going to want to get at them milky white jugs. Don't you let him touch it.
Dad!
Don't you let him get near those big, heaving, inflated, milky, beautiful, supple and soft to the touch jugs.
Ew!
Okay? Dad. Don't you ever let him do that. You keep your purity for some guy in a boys band, all right?
Can we have a catch?
Yeah, let's have a catch. Catch those big jugs of yours.
Adam as Angelina Jolie's hitman.
I'd be a great hitman for Angelina Jolie, so I'd be like, all right, we're going to eat half now and then half after I rape you. Sorry, that's a hit.
And then?
Oh, it's a shit. Did I say that out loud? Right, I meant, sorry, half now, then half after
it's
I kill you.
It's important to make it look like an accident.
Right.
Right, if there's an attempted rape.
This rape will definitely look like, I mean, damn it. Sorry, I was just raping, so it's on my mind. Sorry, what were we talking about again? Oh, yeah. Half now, half after the killing. Sorry. That's right. There'll be no raping. You're caught. That's for damn sure.
But if they were to find
semen. But if they were to find some semen, I do feel like that would, you know.
Throw them off.
It would help them on. No one's going to think you killed yourself with a penis.
I think that was when Angelina Jolie was talking about hiring a hitman to kill her. Yeah, that was. I think that was the story. There was some story that she was going to commit suicide by hiring a hitman to get her. That's where
make
that
it look
from.
As though she'd been killed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to agree with this one. Although I do love me as Joe Simpson, but the winner, me and Bryan Cranston. Yeah, yeah. He does a hell of a Tex Watson. Hell of a, no better Tex
condolences Watson. To the runners-up Adam Carolla and Adam Carolla.
That's right. When they do Tex Watson the musical, you know his phone's going to be ringing off the hook. All right. Now, one I've been looking forward to for a while. This is Best Fight. What the hell can this be?
The nominees for Best Fight are Adam and Donnie in Clips for Live Shows.
I've given you the speech a million times on the live show's going to pay the bills, and you're...
Have I disagreed?
No.
No, you don't disagree. You disagree by not writing down things when I say, hey, here's what we need for the live show.
No, Donnie, right here. Right here is where you go, yes, sir, Mr. Carolla.
No, we weren't walking to the movie theater.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Carolla. I called you in your room.
Cultivate that.
Drew,
yes, sir, Mr.
Carolla. It's not that easy when he's broadcasting the world that I'm a schmuck and yes, I'm a stoner.
Yes, sir,
Mr. Carolla.
I called you in your room in San Jose.
Well, this is what he also does. It's coded. He goes, hey, I'm watching MSNBC. Turn this on. So
coded.
Okay, yeah, I got it. All right, I'll see you at the movie theater
downstairs.
Oh,
no.
Then while we're walking, he updates and says,
hold
hey,
on
you know
a second.
What?
No, that's not how it goes. No, not then when we're walking. No, I say, turn it to channel 17.
Yep.
MSNBC.
Yes.
Just about 2 minutes ago, they showed a clip that would be awesome. I need to grab that clip.
You didn't say clip. You said, watch this show. It seems kind of interesting.
Donnie, please hang up on yourself right now. I will throw a boot through that window. It's watch a show. It seems kind of interesting.
Yes, sir, Mr. Carolla.
That's me. That's what I do with all the clips I want for the live show.
Adam and Donnie for Dr. Bruce's phone.
Donnie told me to leave this thing on. I might get an emergency call. So that'd
be kind of exciting.
Donnie, did Donnie tell you to leave that on?
He did.
Donnie, why are you...
I'm shutting it off.
Don't be stupid, Donnie.
I know. Okay.
You know what Donnie does is he tries to do funny producing
of
the
bit?
Show.
Oh, that was a bit?
Yes.
He was engineering a...
No.
Donnie, don't fucking do that. And I would normally yell more, but then you'd say, see, you yelled, and then
it's
was
a funny.
Funny.
Bit.
And Adam and Donnie in secretly recorded audio from the film vault.
But Donnie, the last film vault conversation we had was you wanted me to be a guest on their show.
I don't believe I've ever said guest on.
Gotta be honest, though.
Didn't say guest on her show.
I don't believe.
What would you call it then? If you get into fucking semantics, I'm walking the fuck out of here. They were doing a show. You asked me to be on their show.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't say guest on their show. I didn't, Donnie. I'm fucking walking out of here. I didn't ask you to be a guest on their show. Are you fucking nuts? You asked me to be on their show. I'm saying the word guest, but you asked me to be on their show. Did you or did you not? Well, then shut the fuck up with that. I didn't ask to be a guest on their show.
Wow. Sad. You know, it felt a little like Hasselhoff when his daughter was showing him tape of him with the hamburger on the floor. Yeah. Jeez, man. Who's
the winner?
I was
there for that last fight. I was sitting on the couch.
Uncomfortable.
That was tough.
Yeah. All right. I'm not proud of that, but that was... you know, the winner is me and Donnie in the film vault argument. Yeah, Donnie. Done it again. Called you up in San Jose and said there might be something interesting to check out.
Wait a second. First of all, I'd like to say everything was taken out of context for this this award show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really get to defend myself correctly in this.
You're fine. You're fine. Yeah, that was the film. Let's see. That I thought you. Wait a minute. We started the show.
I said, can you do the film ball?
Right.
No,
right.
I will relay the facts to this.
Right.
We were doing
Adam
Carolla show. No, we were doing the Adam Carolla show as a way to promote the launch of the film ball, which is coming up in like a week. We were pre-recording it because I was out of town.
Correct.
We were supposed to be guests on the Adam Carolla show, and there was some confusion as to who was on whose show.
Right.
And I did probably say, can you do the film ball?
Yeah, he said,
and Adam
so.
Adam took it like, oh, okay, I'll be a guest on their show.
So when we started the show, I was just sitting there, and Brian was staring at me, and I was staring at Brian, and then people were sort of pointing the finger, and I was like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm a guest on their show. And all right. Anyway, I'm tired, Donnie. You're doing a fine job with the network. Okay. What can I say?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, go back to the mini bikes. What's next? Should we do one? Let's do one more before I do another little live spot. Should we take
film
a little break?
By the way, named one of the top podcasts on iTunes of 2010.
I saw that, and why not? By the way,
hell
it's a
yes.
great it's a great podcast.
I meant to ask you, by the way, what's your favorite episode?
Mine would definitely have to be the best film fights.
Yeah, we never did that.
You should do that one.
You totally should,
dude. You should totally do that one, dude.
You should come on our show or vice versa.
Yeah.
For that episode.
Love that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, we're back with the Ace Awards and still plenty of show to go. We have the most awkward moment. I'm curious. Guest of the year, rant of the year. I'm curious about all this. Like, if you'd said to me, you don't know what the rant of the year is, but give me one you think might be, or give me one of the top five or top 10 or something. I have no idea. I would have no idea. Guest of the year, I would have no idea.
Every year when we did the Ace Awards, I look forward to the most sneakily under the radar, the previously awarded montage. Because
mm-hmm.
that's like a rapid fire best of the year, all funny bits. You know what I mean? It's
right.
it's always a funny refresher of what we've done.
Best musical guest as well. Next category, please.
In a ceremony held earlier, awards were handed out in the following categories. Teresa Strasser for Best Out of Context Clip.
I was put on this earth for one thing and one thing only, sucking a footlong cock.
Adam Carolla for Most Gracious Victory.
Two Jamaicans.
Adam.
Oh, damn it.
Fuck, two Jamaicans. Cool Runnings
from 1990.
Wow!
The game goes to the Ace Man.
Wow! In your head, Tumor. In your head. Woo! Yeah.
For most ironically named guest, the most interesting man in the world.
Let's not do to porn what we did to Thanksgiving by shoving a bunch of golden raisins in it and cooking. Trout, you know, just put a turkey in the oven. Let's get some stuffing and call it a night.
We're scaring Jonathan, yeah, I think.
We had the least interested man in the studio.
Yeah, sorry, Jonathan. But Jonathan, you're with me. There's nothing. Was there anything broken about porn?
No, I'm just thinking about my morals clause, and I'm about.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was happening.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, take it easy with your porn.
It's your
talk,
fault, Shira.
Would you please?
No.
Please. He has a morals clause. Man sells beer for a living. He shouldn't have a morals clause. They sandwich in between two foxy chicks.
The security expert for best new character.
This morning on Peter Tilden's show, we interviewed this Israeli who used to be the head of security at El Al.
What is?
He was so angry about TSA and the people that they hire to do the security in their entire system. And an angry Israeli.
This.
Very hilarious.
This is, it's not checked from shit.
Five times as angry as that.
They're not checked from shit there.
He called them burger flippers.
Schwarzenegger flippers. They stand there, they pull over to the red-headed women, they look into their eyes. There's nothing.
He offered to help down at LAX, and they said no thanks.
They went down to LAX, I offered my help, and they told me hit the bricks.
Song of the Year. Rich Banks. For coming on the tits.
Drop sperm on her chest like paratroopers. Or instead just finish in her pooper.
In her pooper.
Simple fix, all you do is pull out your dicks and leave some man paste on her nips. Coming on the tits. Coming on the tits.
And caller of the year, Randy from Craigslist.
Randy?
Yes, I'm here.
You're selling Rue McClanahan's book?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And you live in Hollywood?
Yes, I do.
All right. It's my hypothesis that...
Say that again, Adam. I'm sorry.
It's my hypothesis...
Yeah.
Dude, are you gay?
...that this is a gay ruse. All of these things. It's just an attempt to meet dudes on the
internet.
Putting
a Rue in Rue.
Adam, my theory is that you've written... even though you're straight, and I can't believe you didn't talk about it on the man show.
Am I right or am I right? First off, you have to be gay, and secondly...
Of course
this...
you're right. I think, Adam, that you kind of tuck it under your mattress next to your playgirls and that kind of thing.
You guys are so
And when
funny.
You can't sleep or when you need to use the bathroom, you just open up Rue McClanahan's book. It doesn't matter what chapter it is, the beginning or the end, like... I'm Adam Carolla of The Man Show. I hate homos.
No.
I love pussy.
I love the fags.
You love
the gays. Oh,
all
man.
Right. I don't
you
like
send
that.
Me some naked pictures of you by chance.
Randy, how much is this book going for?
It's going for $5, but I will give Adam a discount. I will sell it for $4 because Jimmy Kimmel has his own show.
Wow.
That's cold comfort.
Rarely do I get insulted and save a dollar in the same sentence. Wow, that was all the previously awarded awards. I like that.
My favorite part of the award show.
Yeah, me too. It is that in memoriam thing. Yeah. It's that, I don't know why, something satisfying about it. All right, moving on with the ACE Awards. Dawson, would you like to reveal the next category?
This is for Best Musical Guest. These are actual artists who came in the studio and performed.
All right.
The nominees for Best Musical Guest are Hanson.
Lean on me when times are bad. When the day comes and you're feeling down. In a river of trouble, you're about to drown, yeah. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming.
Yeah.
Glenn Phillips.
Spotted the ocean, head of the trail. Where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me that this is the place where everything's better and everything's safe. On the ocean, step on the stones, fish becomes water, wood becomes bone.
Get to the part about coming on the tits.
With those 4 minute waits, keep that breathless charm. Won't you please arrange it? 'Cause we love you, and the way you listen to us tonight. Okay, a little trumpet now.
Silver was right about the wing ball. We'll get that going next week. So funny, my dad turning into like a big musical ham is, I'm doing some math. By the time he's 135, he's going to be ready for Knott's Berry Farm. Wow. Yeah, that's the math I've done.
He's like a Benjamin Button fund.
It's really weird because I must have been the 70s or something. The whole time I was growing up with him, he played the trumpet once in a while. He never sang. He was like, it was like it got away from him. And then all of a sudden, he turned, like, he got into his 70s, and all of a sudden, the horn found him again, which makes you wonder, like, what's going to happen to us? All of a sudden, I'm going to wake up at 71 and go, anyone got a harp? Someone's going to go, huh? Give me that harp. I got to play that harp. I wonder what's going to happen. Well, anyway, the winner, the best musical guest, a legacy, Jim Carolla, everybody. Yeah. All right, boy, what do we got?
He would be here to accept his award personally, but he's at the Clippers game.
Except for the street lights are on. Yeah.
Yeah, he's courtside of the Clippers.
He likes the Clippers. I guarantee he's never been to a Clipper game. What would you, if I said, my dad was sitting there telling me how much he liked the Clippers last time he did the show. Hey, what if I said this, Brian? What if I said this? you give me $100. Now, to my $5,000, I'll give you if my dad's ever been to a Clippers game.
Well, 50-1 shot.
Would you take those odds?
I would take those odds based on the odds, and also because maybe someone like a work friend, you know, like
there could be a story. There could be a story.
He accidentally ended up there after like going to a jazz club one night. He was coming back in the sports arena.
Could be a story there. It's like the time he knew Dr. Drew's last name when we did my terrestrial morning show. I brought him in and I did this thing with him where I said, look, I'm going to give you $5,000 if you can name the radio station that I was on for the last 11 years.
I think that was day one of the show, by the way.
Day one of the show. And he came up with some of the name, to be fair to him. He couldn't come up with the 106.7 K-Rock part, but he came up with like K-Row or Rock or something. But he couldn't come up with the number where it was on the dial. Yeah. That much I knew. I said I had five or ten grand in it for him if he could come up with the name of the puppet show that I did on Comedy Central. And by the way, I think coincidentally Jimmy was wearing a Crank Yanker shirt at the time, which we thought might trigger something. But I didn't come up with that. And then I think I said I'd give him like $3,500 if he could come up with Dr. Drew's last name. And he said, Pinsky. And I said, what? Because there's one thing I know. It's people and their consistency. And
there's Loveline fans who might not know that. You know what I mean? The casual Loveline fan may not know Dr. Drew's last name.
It's not out there every day. And I said, how the... maybe it was $5,000. I was so sure he wouldn't know Dr. Drew's last name. And he had arranged a meeting or somebody with him, a consultation or something with him days earlier and looked up his name or found out his name. Just so you can never count on these things. That's my point. I would have given you 50-1 on the last name of Drew, except for who would have known about my dad living out in Pasadena, Drew working out in Pasadena, and some sort of consultation on some medical thing 2 days earlier, right?
Whatever.
Thank you, Drew. All right. Should we get to, what do we have? Oh, our next most awkward moment. I'm looking forward
to this.
Curious
about this one.
Yeah, me too.
The nominees for most awkward moment are... Teresa and Brad Garrett for oral sex discussion.
Yeah. But if I'm ranking, I would even put
giving before receiving.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's the
wow.
Old, oh, that's
I wish
the old
you said something earlier.
I find it interesting.
Interesting.
You know, you
I'd rather,
out
I'd
and
rather
you focus.
Give than take.
I don't find that
so
to
love
be unpleasant.
Ahead,
I don't find it unpleasant.
Well, no, it's not unpleasant, but I mean, you know, do you feel guilty when you come?
Oh, my God.
Adam, Teresa, and Rochelle Spector for Phil Spector Discussion.
I mean, the media just portrays him to be some type of, like,
well, he has
monster.
Been convicted of murder.
So you're saying that he's not nearly as eccentric as we all are led to believe.
You know what? This was, it was just all folk tales and stories. And
that wouldn't happen with Larry Miller, for instance, the guest that just left.
Well, he also didn't create the wall of sound and change the way music is today either.
But so. That's a completely separate subject than being sort of nutty. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, he's not nutty whatsoever.
I'm not trying to put him down, even though it sounds like it is. But what I'm saying is he obviously cultivated this and sort of likes the attention or
the,
like that.
The hairstyles, for example.
Yeah, just being.
Well,
just being
I like his hair and I did his hair.
No,
so.
I'm not saying. Oops, sorry. Here's what I'm saying.
And actually, I'm here to talk about the record
I know,
and the fact
listen.
That he hasn't produced or released new material in almost 30 years.
And Teresa and Dag for Dag Insults Teresa's Book.
Hey, tell me about Terry's book.
Terry's book.
Second word.
Honestly, it would be funnier if you would let me
book.
Get into it. Don't you
yeah,
think if you
no,
let me get 30
yeah,
seconds in, it would
well,
be more painful?
30's going to feel like a lifetime, but 11 seconds. Yeah. There we go.
Let's go.
I'll interview you. The book. First off, how does the process work? Do they approach you?
I'm not saying anything.
For a lot less.
And if this was your experience while pregnant? Go ahead.
Yeah, I started a blog called Exploiting My Baby.
Yeah, right? I remember that one.
Where I wrote my innermost thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Right. Right. My mouth is full of mucus. I can't right. go on
it. Yes, uh-huh. every day.
Mm-hmm. This is about your baby?
It's about being pregnant. It's a humor book about pregnancy.
You know what? That is an amazing idea. This is supportive September. I've never heard of a concept about a woman writing about funny things that happen when you're knocked up. Good luck with that. That sounds hilarious.
Wow. Wow, this is tough. And the winner of the most awkward moment, Dag and Teresa Strasser. Yeah. Just talk to Dag.
Rochelle Spector was out to lunch.
She was, wasn't she?
She was kooky.
By the way, whenever, you know, I was just watching some thing on John Lennon, and John Lennon wanted to work with Phil and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they're just interviewing people, and they're like, well, you know, working for Phil was tough because he's nuts, and he's, you know, he keeps a gun, and he's always waving that gun around. And, like, by the way, how many years can you wave a gun around, you know what I mean, before how nutty can you be and how long can you wave a gun around before somebody gets a bullet in the mouth?
Yeah.
And it was a weird thing where it was like, I mean, it was just they sort of glossed over it during this sort of retrospective of John Lennon, but it was like, yeah, it was understood that if you worked with Phil, you had to deal with him and his gun, and people are kind of freaked out by it, but it was like no one would take it away from him. And it's kind of a weird society we live in, if you think about it, or maybe it was. Like, there's lots of rules, but on the other hand, the crazy guy's got a gun and no one's really going to say anything about it. So it was pretty obvious that this guy loved gunplay. He loved crazy hair, and he was just clearly just out to lunch.
Yeah, don't love any one thing too much, because you end up creating a lot of circumstantial evidence against yourself. Like, if Jay Leno was implicated in running over somebody with a Duesenberg,
yeah,
it wouldn't take a lot to believe that.
Yeah, and it's like his defense that it could have been any Stanley steamer in Burbank is not going to hold up real good.
That's right.
All right, shall we move on to the next category? Wow, guest of the year. Yeah. Excited for this one.
The nominees for Guest of the Year are Steven Adler.
My personality in that band was the one who stood up to everybody.
Right.
And was the one who had at least a little common sense to say, hey, like I would, like Axel, if he would, like in the middle of the first song, once or twice, he'd throw the microphone down and leave. And I would go back there and say, dude, you can't do that. And I would explain to him, I said, dude, remember when we were going to concerts, how hard we had to work to save up the money to buy a ticket to go see our favorite band? Sure. All those people just did that for us. Yeah. We can't just do one song, come on.
Yeah.
And then he'd go back out there.
You're like, you think Paul Revere and the Raiders would have done that?
Yeah. Paul Revere going to my real, fuck this guy. Yeah. I'm out of here. I'm leaning on a lamppost.
Two lines from Kicks just keep getting harder to find of Cherokee Nation and then steps right off the stage. Hell no. And his Raiders wouldn't have let him do
it.
They
wouldn't let him do it.
No, they're dressed in cool outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were young, and we it was all when you're young and have grow up with nothing, and all of a sudden here's right. everything. I mean, when with the drug scene back then, we wouldn't even have to open our mouth. I honestly tell you, all we would have to do was think it, and we'd look down at a table, and there'd be drugs.
Yeah. Right.
Boom, pop that.
I know
like
you're
that.
Sober now, but can you think about some drugs for me?
I think about all
I
the
use
time.
A little booger.
How do you not? I did drugs for 30 years. I can't just, you know, take all those memories away. I'm always going to think about
so,
it.
So
don't act on it.
Was it? So you're saying back in the day when you guys were touring,
just didn't do it,
everything was landing in your lap. That
real fast.
Would you say that the shows weren't as good as they could have been because of the drugs?
No. Well, near the end, yeah. Near the end on my part, you know, I threw everything away. And for 20 years, I blamed, you know, Cyrus and Duff and Izzy and Axel for letting me down. I thought they let me down. But then when I started working with Dr. Drew and, you know, listening to him and working with him, I realized that they didn't let me down. I let them down.
Right.
It was me who fucked up. Mm-hmm. I took everything for granted and threw it all away.
Ed Asner.
No high rise has ever gone down by fire.
Mm-hmm.
Those buildings fell at the rate of gravity in 10 seconds flat.
So,
or close to it.
So I had heard, Ed, that when the impact of the plane knocked a lot of that stuff off of these beams, and then when the Jet A fuel started burning, the beams melted. But to that, you would say what?
Bullshit.
Really? Well, then who's behind it, then?
We'll never know from the type of investigation.
Who do you think is behind it?
I think that there is a certain area of government which probably participated in this.
In what way? Turn a blind eye or actually participate?
Well,
I mean, in a more proactive way.
The planes couldn't have brought them down by themselves.
Bombs,
so you're
maybe?
Saying that there were explosives in the building.
Bobby Lee.
At the end of my second season of Mad, I was taking 30 Vicodins a day. I stopped showing up to, like, table reads and sketches.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me an intervention. There was
Artie
an executive.
Lang showed up and said, get it together, dude.
Yeah, there's a poster of him. You know what I mean? And then I threw away all my Vicodin, right? And they wrote me another sketch, a Connie Chung sketch. And I felt fine, right? And so a Friday comes, and I'm, like, about to shoot the sketch, Connie Chung. They put me in the makeup, and I'm sitting in the makeup chair, and I start shaking. Like, to the point
DTs.
Where, yeah, I thought I was going to die. Like, I felt my organs
You were doing
each other.
30 a day for about how long?
A couple years.
A couple years?
Yeah.
So,
and I was drinking, too, on top of that. And I'm at the set, and you know, there's an audience, and you know, the lights turn on, and they go action, and I go, "Good evening, I'm," and I was gonna say Connie Chung. As I'm saying it, I pooped.
You really?
Yeah, in my pants.
Wow.
And you could see it come down the stocking.
Really?
Yeah. And then they said cut. Right.
Wait, were you wearing pants or wearing a skirt?
Dressed up as Connie Chung.
Keep going. I'm getting horny.
And then I remember Dick Lasucci, the executive producer, looking at me and going, "You're going to do this. I don't care. You're finishing it." I remember it taking a 5-minute sketch taking hours. I did
really?
It line by line. And so I'm packing up my dressing room. I remember none of the cast said goodbye to me. Right? Mm-hmm. It was the last show of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember crying off the lot like I just fucked up my whole career.
Wow. Provocative, moving, disturbing. And the guest of the year, Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses. I liked all the man's stories. And nice to see him sober.
If it's any consolation to the runner-up, Ed Asner, his rant was in fact synced up to some footage from Up. And it's on YouTube, and it's fantastic.
Oh, from this show.
Yeah. Some of the conspiracy theory and the old man from Up.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Where are we at?
The big finale.
Big finale, the rant of the year. I'm excited to hear this one.
Who's going
to
win?
The nominees for rant of the year are United Airlines.
You have a policy. Fine. You have a policy. And we broke that policy. Although I would argue everyone else is being anywhere from 20 minutes to 30 minutes and you being nearly double that is a little excessive, but that's your policy. 45 minutes. And you know what? We showed up 43 minutes instead of 45 minutes before
empty,
the cutoff.
Deserted.
With no bags to check, but yet we did it. And technically, Donnie screwed the pooch because he did not pre-register us and did not check us in advance. But here's the other thing. There's no reason for your people to be rude. There's no reason for them to throw that attitude at us. All we were trying to do is we were trying to fix a conflict, and with a simple thank you or even a sorry or let us see what we can do or let us at least open the computer, no. Your fucking horrible employees at McCarran completely and utterly flatlined. No eye contact, no I feel your pain, no nothing. Just shitty, god-awful fucking service for people who paid to patronize your business. You will not hear the end of this. This will not be the last of it, and we will punish United in one way, shape, or form.
Well,
and
you're especially keep talking about it.
Especially the two asswipes who work that fucking counter.
Time Warner Cable.
Woke up this morning to no internet. It had been shut off. Why was it shut off? Well, the bill was late. And then it got paid. When Lynette called them and said, hey, the bill got paid. Why did you shut it off? They said, our bad. But you were on the list to be shut off. The guy physically came over and shut the internet off, you know, last night at some point. Now, here's the beauty of it. Oh, you want a guy out? Let's see. Of course, you get the window from 1 to 4 o'clock. I fucking love that window.
If you get 1 to 4, you're lucky.
I know you're lucky, except for they fucked up. They fucked up. The bill is paid. The bill has been paid for several weeks, and they said, our bad. Now, suck it. Fuck off, Time Warner Cable.
And Lynn and Alex and the MTV methadone joke.
You know when Prince basically announced a few weeks ago that the internet was
over.
So MTV wanted to do this thing, which was, what were we going to do to occupy ourselves without the internet? Here's what I finally come up with. Call me old-fashioned, but I say we replace it with family time and a little something called good conversation. Just kidding. I guess we just have to start doing massive amounts of methadone. Okay. So then I get the email back from the guys, and they go, MTV wants us to tweak the meth joke. I then replied, fuck it, you get nothing. Now, here's the deal with these asswipes. First off, I guarantee Lynn and Alex didn't go look up what methadone was. I'll guarantee the asswipe retard at MTV didn't go look it up. It's got a complete context. Yes, we're weaning you off this substance you're hooked on.
It's a joke.
Right! It's a fucking joke from a fucking comedian! What the fuck is wrong with everyone? And leave me the fuck alone! And here's the deal. Could I tweak it? Yes. Will I tweak it? Fuck you! Jesus Christ! The fuck is wrong? All you fucking non-funny people that don't have a creative fucking bone in your body except the one your boyfriend just shoved up your ass, shut the fuck up! Shut up! You're not fucking funny, now shut up! Yeah, a little of that's built up from a fucking career of having super unfunny people try to tweak your stuff. Well, make it funnier. I can't tell you how many notes I got writing sitcom pilots where the note was, be funnier. Make it funnier. Really? Oh, God, this town is fucking horrible. And the thing that pissed me off about that one is it was called methadone, and I got the email that said they don't like the meth joke, as if I was talking about methamphetamine or speed. Methadone is a drug that's prescribed by doctors. Meth is something that hillbillies cook up. All right. Ugh, when your own people don't know the fucking difference between methadone and meth. Okay. Rant of the year, the methadone joke. Thank you. All right. Well, how do we bring this home? I want to thank Mike Lynch and Dawson. Dawson? I don't know what his last name is. Point is this. These guys worked overtime putting this baby together, and one day this is going in the Smithsonian. That's right. Right next to Archie Bunker's chair and Ed Asner's retarded theories. Boy, does he hate this country. Ed Asner hates this fucking country.
His son wasn't holding him back either.
No. Well, I'm sure he's poisoned him a little bit, too. But he started off with this weird kind of a... Yeah, sure, the Americans could have rescued all the Jews that were in Auschwitz in 42, but we decided not to. And I was kind of like, all right, but we still fought the good fight, right? And then later on that got into the towers coming down. It's just a good old fashioned hatred for this country, so works very nicely.
I can tell you he was excited to defend his award for next year.
Yeah.
That's
right. Isaac's already got some stuff planned for next year.
All right. What day is it? What day does this show air?
Friday.
All right. Some big weekend coming up, everybody. Let's take ourselves a little extendo break. You guys enjoy yourselves over the holidays and over the weekends. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bald Brian and Isaac Hayes saying mahalo.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
And that was the 2010 Ace Awards, just as epic as ever. And that'll do it for today's episode of Carolla Classics, but Joe and I got you the rest of the weekend, so make sure to tune in for that, and thank you for sharing the show with a friend. We'll see you tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.
Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows, available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.